Can you epistemically prove that claim, sir?
I've seen reporting that you did spend money on it. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well that's inaccurate. Okay, the person who has to do this is an unpaid advisor to the DA.
Okay, maybe he flubbed up on the money. Who knows? I don't know who's right.
So Ken Martin would be considered a primary source because he's the DNC chair, so he would know.
But let's just trade in facts on this, right? The reality is we did talk to hundreds of people. It was an exhaustive exercise to really get...
So it's a lot of work. Exhaustive, you say. So it was a big undertaking. It's not just like this minor thing.
He never said it was a minor thing. You fabricated that. You made it up because you're trying to salvage the pod narrative so much. It really doesn't matter what that report says. If the report says that Palestine was a slight factor, but not determinative, even in a single state, these guys would say they buried it. They lied, they underplayed how important it was, and they just threw some lip service in there to keep us quiet. If the report came out and it said Palestine actually had nothing to do with it, these guys would come out and say they lied. They paid some loser. Bet, let's go and check his family. Bet they've got a APEC donor in there somewhere, or they've got like a guy who's connected to somebody who got money from somebody who was working for somebody who got money from APEC at one point in time in history. 100%. No matter what that report says, it all leads back to Israel-Palestine.
That what he's arguing, but he's afraid to say it, is if we open this up...
Is he going to say it outright? Oh God, hold on. I'm edging myself right now. Okay. Please, God, please, 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 please.
This understand.
I edged. Blue balls.
No, hold on.
That the forces of the status quo, the centrist and establishment and more corporate elements, and in this case, I think we all know what it is they're hiding, is...
Oh!
There you go.
Wait!
Well, the implications of Harris's Gaza position.
Israel, Palestine. Yes, true. We yes, yes, I come. See what part of the slop cycle piece goes on.
We've been releasing
these,
been
releasing them. About being what style leadership is best suited to the current circumstances. Basically, do we need a president or a legislature in charge? We need to focus on presidency over everything. But we, like, sorry, what? That came out wrong. The presidency is by far the most important office. I don't think that's necessarily what they're talking about. I think that's how Ken wants to portray it. Like, that's the kind of dynamic, or at least it's that everyone is trying to pigeonhole him into conventional wisdom and he's not having it. I do think that Democrats should try to compete everywhere. But if you're asking me, like, my ranking, Masaka, president is the most important office in the country. Oh, got it. Yeah, I remember. Okay. He's almost pseudo-blaming the Pate bros for, like, a future Democratic loss, or here, Jon Favreau. He's like, you don't want to be the reason we lost, right? And it reminds me of the people who said, don't criticize Biden. Don't call for Biden to drop out. Don't you know you're just ruining his chances? We just have to close ranks. That's what it reminds me of. And the implication here is like, see, you don't want us to lose, do you? And it reminds me a little bit, when I'm criticized for good faith and good criticism of this party, which is the only vehicle by which we defend our country, the Democratic Party, when I have good faith, good criticism of Democrats, that they say I'm trying to scuttle the Democrats' chances. So this is especially triggering for me on a personal level.
No one thinks there's a magic silver bullet.
Yeah, it's such a straw man. And like, listen, this is, I'm sorry, I'm repeating myself at this point. If you're watching the stream, you have to deal with it. Because I just have to repeat it. It's so obvious it's a straw man.
That what's a straw man?
The 200-page report, you interview people in 50 states, you spend a lot of donor money on it. And people are wondering, like,
is there anything unreasonable about what Favreau's saying?
On it. We spent a lot of donor money on that, and that's just inaccurate.
You spent a couple $100,000 on it, right?
Oh, no, we did not.
It was a free report?
We did not spend a couple $100,000 on that. The person and people who were involved in it were not paid to do this work. And so I would just say that's inaccurate, John. So
who cares? Effort. It's all fungible.
Oh my God.
Time.
It's not fungible, you fucking moron! He just talked about the donors wasting money on it! And if they didn't spend any money on it, that's not fungible! Unless you're implying that the people that they got to work on it for free could have worked on something else that the donors would have spent their money on anyway? What the fuck? What do you think fungible means? That it's Full Metal Alchemist where all matter and energy and life is exchangeable with itself? Wait, what the fuck? What does that mean for fungible? What?
Effort. Organizational capacity. Your salary, perhaps, in overseeing it.
How much time did he spend overseeing the what?
I'm not sure where you would even get that number.
I got out of bed for this. I feel like we live in two different worlds sometimes. I don't know what Pisco's talking about.
It's the thing I said. It's always going to be the thing I said, and I'm going to scream it over and over again. This is the team thing.
Everybody calls you a fucking contrarian, but like, I feel like sometimes we have actual people who just want to be on the side of like... shit-talking the Dems. I don't get it, dude.
So what's being created right now, and these media cycles will last like 1 to 3 days, and then they become like a permanent scar that'll be brought up in the future, right? So Pisco reacted to this.
All right.
Keith Edwards reacted to this. I haven't watched his reaction yet. The Majority Report reacted to this, but this is just like the MAGA media cycle. So what happens is every single one of these like commie dudes are going to react to this, and they're going to give the exact same take. And then that's going to be, oh, and apparently Hassan reacted to it. This is going to be, that's not this video. It was another video. This is going to be like the talking point that everybody repeats. And so you've got the right. I don't know if the right will attack the DNC over this, because I don't know if they give a fuck about DNC shit. And then you've got the far left that have their media talking points about the center left here. And nobody in the center left is going to come up to defend any of these people because they just don't have that apparatus. And then it's just going to be that Ken Martin is a loser, the DNC sucks, and then this is just part of the...
But Ken Martin fought back against it, and it seemed like he had like... good reasons for
doesn't matter,
why
doesn't matter, doesn't matter, doesn't
doing.
Matter, doesn't matter. You can engage
well, how
with
does that not matter?
Because you can engage with anything however you want to. Like, when you're making a documentary, the hardest thing about a documentary is picking which facts you want to include, because you can tell any story you want.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah.
And so if you're watching, like, if you're watching anything, you can pick a side and you can give whatever take you want. That's all you
have to say. But when you're watching something like this, shouldn't you be listening to both sides and coming to, like, your own sort of conclusion of, like, who you feel like is having the better arguments?
I mean, it depends on what team you're on or what part of the ecosystem you feel like you're in.
I don't know. I don't feel like I have a huge dog in this race, like, watching it, but it seems like Ken was giving pretty good reasons against John of why he's doing XYZ, and then I think John kind of looked like a fucking idiot in that interview.
Yeah, but most people won't see it that way. Like, Pisco just blew, like, if this was a, if it was like a team sports more and there was a center left team sports, then people would be screaming, like what I said, when I was like, you got completely blown the fuck out on that. You were factually wrong, right? He was factually wrong, and he really did get blown the fuck out. And for Pisco, it's like, who cares? What about it? Who cares about it? It doesn't matter. Every single thing in the universe is fungible, mass energy equivalent. Like, it's what?
So, did you have some sort of record that shows?
I don't know. This shit.
I feel like we're living in two different worlds. I hear what you're saying, but yeah. I don't know how Pisco is.
The whole point is
away.
Different. The whole point is different worlds.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I haven't watched this yet. Okay. Wait.
So are they just brain broken then? Or are they just lost?
Yeah. Well, because they get lost in their own little media worlds, and then that's all it is. That's all that matters. I'm gonna watch this as a pro Zionist. And then I'm going to watch this as a pro-Palestinian, okay? You can watch the exact same thing, and you can have totally fucking opposite takes. You can do this with anything in the fucking media you want, okay?
And there's a bad guy. My next surrounded claim is that Jews are indigenous to the land of Israel.
Absolutely fucking true, okay? There's literally the Kingdom of Israel. I'm pretty sure the term Palestinian was created by the Romans as an insult to the Jews. I don't remember the exact terminology or whatever, but Jews can trace their lineage back to the historic lands, the Kingdom of Israel. It's literally in the fucking Bible, but, like, historically, this is a true fact. Nothing I'm saying is not true also. I'm not just making shit up, okay? This is all true, that Jewish history back to Israel precedes any appearance of any... precedes the entire Muslim faith and Arabs and everything else. So that is absolutely true. So there's no way that he loses on claim 3 here, okay?
The first debater, get to the seat in 3, 2, 1.
Hi, it's nice to meet you.
Likewise, how are you?
Doing well. So I'd like to know more about why you believe that and where that comes from.
Sure. So when I make a claim about the Jewish people, it's never against another population. When I'm saying that the Jews are indigenous to the land of Israel, it's where we come from. If you dig in the land, you find our history. This is the land that our ancestors have come from. We've maintained a constant presence, and thankfully we were able to come back to that land. For
true. Israel. There have always been Jews living in Israel. These Jews have lived in Jerusalem. There has been a constant presence that has been maintained from literally the ancient kingdom of fucking Israel to today.
Sure. Would you identify yourself as a Zionist?
So I'd say that there are many different thought leaders that were involved in the modern political movement called Zionism, and that there are many different branches, the right-wing Zionism, left-wing Zionism, secular Zionism, religious Zionism, even Christian Zionism, which I'm completely against. But the fundamental idea of Zionism, which comes from the word Zion, which means Jerusalem, is the idea that the Jewish people should have a right to self-determine on their ancestral homeland of Judea/Israel. So do I believe that the Jews should have a right to come back home? Absolutely, I do.
Sure. So I was also...
Fair definition, for sure.
So wondering why, because this is a debate about pro-Palestine versus pro-Israel, I was also wondering why you believe that indigeneity plays a role in pro-Israel like actions.
For sure. So to define indigeneity first, if the United Nations actually defined it for what is widely accepted in academic spaces, which is that your identity is the pre-colonial identity that was born and rooted to a particular and specific piece of land that is essential to that people's identity and way of life. They've maintained a constant presence in that land, and they collectively identify with this term. And the reason why it's so important to speak about this is because there are a lot of people who claim to be pro-Palestinian who use Palestinian struggles in order to try to delegitimize my ancestral connection and my right to live there. So I'm
true. He has to fight on ancestral grounds and right to the land because literally Palestinian people do the exact fucking same, 100%.
For the right for other people to live there as well. But when people are trying to delegitimize who I am in the collective that belongs here as well, that's when I have a problem.
Okay, so here's sort of where I'm coming from. From what I understand about indigeneity, it is a concept, just like intelligence, love, which means that it can be essentially defined by what it is, but not necessarily, it's more difficult to define what it isn't. My understanding of indigeneity that it has relation against colonialism. Also, similarly, my understanding of Zionism is that, especially through settler action, we...
Imagine talking about colonialism when the entire way that Arabs and Muslims got across there was literally through military conquest. What do you think a caliphate is? Why do you think there were the rise and fall of so many of them? What do you think that meant? When the Ottoman Empire disappeared, what was the Ottoman Empire? Like, how do they think people even got there? What was Muhammad's job? What was he known as? Was literally a warlord, a conqueror? Like how could you possibly talk about imperialism and then defend the Palestinian identity the next breath? It's literally impossible.
You know that it is a colonial project. So it's very difficult for me to understand how you can be both indigenous and the colonizer.
Mm-hmm. So I look at Zionism as an anti-colonial movement, a movement that the previous colonizers that were here were the British, firstly being the Romans that colonized the land, renamed it to
Palestine
and kicked out the majority of the Jewish people.
True.
Then we have the Byzantine Empire, we have the Caliphates, we have the Ottomans, and eventually we have the British.
Does that have any say on the Jewish Palestinians who exist, who are not afforded full citizenship? What happens to them? Because Palestinians
are
the monolith, and we understand
Palestinians are not receiving full citizenship.
Well, if you're a Palestinian, then you don't have full citizenship in the state of Israel.
Right. So we're talking about now the consequences have happened after the British were here.
Sure.
And the way that British colonized.
So do you think that, do you think that their citizenship is a direct action of the British?
No, I think that the division of the land is a direct consequence
she's
of
totally
the British.
Totally lost. She has no idea what she's talking about. I don't know why she's sitting here. American, born in Michigan, 100%.
It's to our population.
Okay.
Let me explain where that comes from.
We have to pause.
Oh, she probably meant Israeli Palestinians, not Jewish Palestinians, but she doesn't know the difference because she shouldn't even be sitting here.
There, you've been voted up
for
by the majority.
It's the same word, right?
No, doesn't matter. She was completely, totally incorrect on this. Every fact
now
that was said here was 100% correct, okay? I didn't make anything up, okay? We'll watch it from the Palestinian side, okay? We won't make anything up, all right?
See?
My next surrounded claim is that Jews are indigenous to the land of Israel.
Okay, when he says Jews are indigenous to the land of Israel, sure, but which Jews? Are we talking about all the ones that came from Europe? And does the bloodline trace back 2,000 years to historic Kingdom of Israel? Or are we talking about the Jews that he's going to say live in Jerusalem that, by the way, spoiler alert, were interbreeded with Arabs when they came over and have also lived there for the entire time and were converted sometimes to the religion of Islam and then continue to live there? So when he says, like, Jews are indigenous to Israel, is he talking about the same Jews that Arabs and Muslims would say are also indigenous to there and were their own people? Like, who are we claiming here? Or
what
at what point
Brooklyn
do you no
ones.
Longer... At what point do we not become, like, are we saying that, Mizrahi Jews and, you know, not what you mean, but Jews from Europe are the exact same race of people? Like, how does that even make sense?
My next surrounded claim is that Jews are indigenous to the land of...
Like, because even Jews here is too broad of a term to claim indigenuity or whatever the fuck, I think.
Of Israel.
All right, if you would like to be the first debater, get to the seat in 3, 2, 1.
Like, he's using Jews here with the way that Americans use the term white. Where it's like, how are we going to say that, a Jew whose family lineage can be traced back however many hundreds or over 1,000 years in some, you know, in Iraq or Jordan or any Middle Eastern country is the exact same race as somebody who, you know, immigrated out of the Middle East, whatever, fucking 2,000 years ago, and their family has been doing whatever else, unless they've literally just been inbreeding the entire time. Is that his claim?
Hi, it's nice to meet you.
Likewise, how are you?
Doing well. So I'd like to know more about why you believe that and where that comes from.
Sure. So when I make a claim about the Jewish people, it's never against another population. When I'm saying that the Jews are indigenous...
He's never going to clarify what he means by Jewish people there, by the way.
...of Israel, it's where we come from. If you dig in the land, you find our history. This is the land that our ancestors have come from. We've maintained a constant presence, and thankfully we were able to come back to that land freely.
By the way, not only, okay, not to poison the wellness guy, but not only will he never clarify what he means when he says Jewish, this guy is funny because he's actually an example of somebody who believes that the concept of who even is Jewish should be expanded. This guy has a whole project called the Lost Tribes or the 12 Tribes of Israel, where the whole point of this guy is to try to reconnect with other lost tribes of Jewish people to increase, artificially one might say, the population of the country of Israel. That's this guy's entire shtick. So even he doesn't agree with most Jews on who counts as Jewish and has historic ties to the land of Israel.
Sure. Would you identify yourself as a Zionist?
So I'd say that there are many different thought leaders that were involved in the modern political movement called Zionism, mm-hmm. and that there are many different branches, the right-wing Zionism, left-wing Zionism, secular Zionism, religious Zionism.
Notice how he tries to differentiate between all these types of Zionism, but what's the one, when she asks if he's a Zionist, what are we really asking? What we're asking is there a homeland that you believe that some amorphous concept of Jew belongs to? And two, does that give you some kind of divine or birthright to expel a whole other group of people, some of which you might also consider Jewish, from that land? No, but he'll never, you know, address that part.
Even Christian Zionism, which I'm completely against. But the fundamental idea of Zion...
I like how he throws, I'm against Christian Zionism. I'm like, okay, you know, good brownie points, bro.
Which comes from the word Zion, which means Jerusalem, is the idea that the Jewish people should have a right to self-determine on their ancestral homeland of Judea/Israel. So do I believe that the Jews should have a right to come back home? Absolutely.
Is that really of Judea/... That's what Zionism means? Because I thought that the whole Zionist project... Isn't it weird that he goes to the religious kind of definition there, but the whole Jewish project in Israel was started by secular labor Zionism, which wasn't religiously motivated and definitely didn't initially start in the lands of Judea and Samaria. That didn't come into possession until 67 and later. So what... Were they wrong? Was Ben-Gurion and the initial Herzl and all the early writers and Kaisman and everybody else, were these guys all wrong about their version of Zionism? Or is your version of Zionism like retroactively the one that we place over all the other Jews? Or
sure. So I was also wondering why, because this is a debate about pro-Palestine versus pro-Israel, I was also wondering why you believe that indigeneity plays a role in pro-Israel-like actions.
For sure. So to define indigeneity first, if the United Nations actually defined it for what is widely accepted in academic spaces, which is that your identity is the pre-colonial identity that was born and rooted to a particular and specific...
When he says academic spaces, which academic spaces? And be careful, because remember, anybody you cite has probably also written academically about how Israel is currently an apartheid state and is committing a genocide and is occupying territory that doesn't belong to it. So we're definitely, what, cherry-picking our academic sources now, I guess? Okay.
Is widely accepted in academic spaces, which is that your identity is the pre-colonial identity that was born and rooted to a particular and specific piece of land that is essential to that people's identity and way of life. They've maintained a constant presence in that land, and they collectively identify with this term. And
Who is constant presence? Like, are we really saying that all of the... why were the Arabs that lived in the Levant even mad when Jewish people came from Europe to the Levant, if they were living there the entire time?
What?
It doesn't make any sense. So was it just they hallucinated a bunch of people showing up that didn't seem to look like them and all had completely and totally different values from everybody else in the region? Or
the reason why it's so important to speak about this is because there are a lot of people who claim to be pro-Palestinian who use Palestinian struggles in order to try to delegitimize my ancestral connection and my rights to live there. So I'm for the right for other people to live there as well. If people are trying to delegitimize who I am in the collective that belongs here as well, that's when I have a problem.
Okay. Really? So if we were to go to Israel right now and we were to pull every single Arab and every single Jewish person, how many of those people could trace back 10 or 20 generations of family living in that area versus how many Jewish people living there would in 5 generations be back in Eastern Russia, be back in someplace in Europe, be back in some Middle Eastern country? Even the ones that look like Middle Easterners aren't from these lands historically. They're from other countries in these lands, and they all came after 47, 48, and 67, and 73.
So here's sort of where I'm coming from. From what I understand about indigeneity, it is a concept, just like intelligence, love, which means that it can be essentially defined by what it is, but not necessarily, it's more difficult to define what it isn't. My understanding of indigeneity, that it has relation against colonialism. Also, similarly, my understanding of Zionism is that, especially through settler action, we know that it is a colonial project. So it's very difficult for me to understand how you can be both indigenous and the colonizer.
Mm-hmm. So I look at Zionism as an anti-colonial movement, mm-hmm. a movement that the previous colonizers that were here were the British, firstly being the Romans that colonized the land, renamed it to Palestine, mm-hmm. and kicked out to the majority.
Sure, if the British were the colonizers, then how are the Zionists not also colonizers? Was the Balfour Declaration not secured in, what was it, 1917, from the British? Are we going to say that American colonies weren't colonizers of the Americas because the Americans eventually revolted against the Brits, so they're no longer colonizers? Or were they indigenous? The idea that just because it was the Brits that colonized it and then partially promised the land to Jewish people on behalf of the colonizer, what do you call a people who get a land from a colonizer, if not colonizers themselves, especially when they all come from where the colonizer lives?
The Jewish people. Sure. Then we have the Byzantine Empire, we have the Caliphates, we have the Ottomans, and eventually we have the British.
Does that have any say on the Jewish Palestinians who exist, who are not afforded full citizenship? What happens to them? Because Palestinians are the monolith,
which
and
Jewish
we understand.
Palestinians are not receiving full citizenship. And
if you're a Palestinian, then you don't have full citizenship
in
the state
of
Israel.
Right, so we're talking about now the consequences that happened after the British were here.
Sure.
And the way that
Well, Jewish Palestinians could refer to people that had Jewish ancestry that lived in Jerusalem but converted to Islam when the, I don't remember the name of the first Caliphates, but when some of the Caliphates rolled through, there were people that converted, and those people could trace themselves back through how, I don't know, however many generations to some kind of Jewish ancestry. Some of those people might be living in fucking Jenin or Nablus or wherever the fuck now. They might not live in Israel proper, and they definitely don't have rights to go back and do anything in Israel proper because now they're considered Palestinian.
Colonized.
So do you think that their citizenship is a direct action of the British?
No, I think that the division of the land is
okay, whatever. But you get the point. Everything I said on both sides of this is totally factual. But you can come away from this it's two totally different fucking realities of who's right or who's wrong, depending on which side you want to scream at. And this is me being factually correct on everything. If you're willing to fucking lie, all of these shameless fucking slop fuckers, you can do anything. You can have any story you want for any fucking media cycle or any narrative or anything you watch ever. Just fucking.
Well, then are we just is it just over then? If everybody's just going to come into every new argument with tons of preconceived ideas and just completely stand their own side, is it GG?
Well, no, because what is supposed to sort this out is that there are supposed to be people that are coming together to fight over whose interpretation is more correct. That's what's supposed to happen. And if you get that kind of exchange between both sides, then the tension that's created there forces both sides to kind of sort of come a little bit closer to each other. And then in that tension, ideally, you get better actors that are giving you a slightly more balanced take on what's going on. That's what's supposed to happen. But because of our little media bubbles today, where everybody is completely siloed onto their own side, they can just fabricate whatever reality they want and then just keep doing it over and over and over and over and over again. And that's it. And that's fucked. That there is no coming back from that reality. That's why I'm against the whole algorithmically generated news bullshit, because you can't, there's no way to survive.
Yeah.
Andrew Wilson.
I think algorithms are bad. I agree with that. It seems like AI is actually kind of doing a good of bringing people closer to the center.
Not really though, because
put you in your far off fucking bubbles.
The AI theoretically could be a tool to help, but you can still use it or ignore it when you don't like it. We watched, if you watched my stream.
Yeah,
we watched that guy today who's just obviously the AI is lying here and blah, blah, blah.
And him. Can you epistemically prove that claim, sir?
Spent any money on that?
I've seen reporting that you did spend money on it. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well that's inaccurate. Okay, the person who has to do this is an unpaid advisor to the DNC.
Time is money. Have you heard of this thing called time is money? Okay, maybe he flubbed up on that money. Who knows? I don't know who's right.
So Ken Martin would be considered a primary source because he's the DNC chair, so he would know.
But he hasn't read the documents himself, Steven.
So
how
you could claim, if you want, you can't claim here that you're not sure who to trust. The claim would be that Ken Martin is fucking lying. If that's what you want to, if that's your position, then take that position and say, oh, I think Ken Martin is a fucking liar. And say he's lying. But you can't be like, oh, well, I'm not sure who to trust here. Well, you have the guy who is in charge of organizing it, and you've got an outsider, and those are the two choices you have. Now, again, you can say, I don't trust Ken Martin. I think he's a fucking lying scumbag piece of fucking shit. Then say that. Own it.
What's nice is Ken has said multiple times in this interview, like, your sources are slop. Like, yeah. The sources that you're citing are slop.
Are you the whole notion of, like, you're downplaying the report. Oh, it was nothing. Oh, there's no smoking gun. It's whatever. Please don't release it. We can't show anybody. So it's not, like, paid proprietary information. It's like, we didn't even spend a single cent on it. And it doesn't really say anything we don't already know already. And we can never release it.
That's not really what he's saying, but I'm glad we got the least charitable interpretation possible. That's good.
We can never release it.
See, and so I appreciate where it's coming from, John. But let's just trade in facts on this, right? The reality is we did talk to, hundreds of people. It was an exhaustive exercise to really get.
So it's a lot of work. Exhaustive, you're saying. So it was a big undertaking. It's not just like this minor thing.
He never said it was a minor thing. You fabricated that. You made it up because you're trying to salvage the pod narrative so much.
And you don't need to describe the report anymore to us. You don't need to just keep. We're not asking you to describe the report. We're asking you why you won't release it and why something significant that is informing these quote unquote lessons that you are releasing, why that needs to be even withheld from members of the Democratic Party who are insiders. Yeah, I'm sorry. I know that I'm smiling and stuff, but it's really triggering me.
What are those key
lessons? And I think you need to check yourself if this doesn't trigger you.
Lessons. Now, I want to be very clear. There's nothing that changed from what I said on the campaign trail to now, which is
we watched. Oh, my God. Nothing changed, huh?
You were on the campaign trail and you talked about definitely releasing an autopsy and criticized the DNC for not releasing an autopsy in 2016. In your mind, you thought I'm going to do one, but only release certain lessons and not the whole report.
No.
This is. I don't know why I can't ever make that statement. If he did, I'm assuming he did because he didn't counteract it. That was stupid. He shouldn't have made that statement.
Owned.
What I said at the time is exactly what I've been saying now, which is we have to focus on the things that help us win the future elections. We have to focus on those lessons. We have to do this exercise, by the way, of doing of conducting this analysis so that we actually learn what happened, not just in 24, but in the years preceding that, John. And so that's where our focus is. I mean, you know,
I don't know if Pisco will come out and openly say it. I'm sure on the Majority Report or Hassan, they will. But the reason why, and Ken knows this, and John probably knows it too. He's just being a disingenuous little snake fuck here. Everybody wants to see Palestine in that report. They don't care how much it's there. If it's even fucking listed a single fucking time,
that'll be all.
It's going to power that whole fucking ass pain movement for another 6 months, all the way up to the election. And they need the energy because people are kind of dragging a little bit. They need that energy. That's what they want to see so much.
The challenge is, think about this.
I feel like I'm being gaslit. I'm sorry. I know it's like a term of, psychologizing everything or whatever it is, pathologizing everything, but it feels like we're just looping and it's the Patrick Wallet meme. That is what it feels like right now.
As an executive summary of like you said, a 200-page document. And I think what we put together and what we learned.
Did they release an executive summary? Wait, I can't even understand what you're saying.
That's where our focus is. I mean, the challenge is, think about this as an executive summary of
I know, but it's not an executive summary. An executive summary summarizes. An executive summary summarizes the report. You're saying lessons from the report. You're not saying that it's characterizing the report. These are additional kind of normative statements that are derived from unspoken facts, perhaps somewhat contained in this report, which is not being summarized by the lessons. So it's not like an executive summary. At least how
this is. I don't know why Ken Martin. I don't know what he's read or what his background is, but it's. I wouldn't characterize releasing lessons report as an executive summary. That's. I don't know why he's saying that.
It's being described.
Like you said, a 200-page document, and I think what we put together and what we learn, we are sharing with people, so they have.
Who is that? The whole. So you are sharing it with people.
Full insight into what we actually.
Well, he's sharing the lessons or whatever, just not the report itself.
To course correct on as we go into these final 100.
Or are you just talking about the lessons again? It's so unclear, man.
He's talking about the lessons. It's not unclear.
8 to 9 days left and into the future. So again,
are you going to release? You mentioned executive summary. Are you going to release an official executive summary? Make that public.
We've been releasing that, John.
We've been releasing it. Like it's an ongoing process of releasing the executive summary. Where is the executive summary? I missed the executive summary. Are you just like lying? Are you just using different definitions for words? I almost want to stop. Like when you say we've been releasing executive summaries, do you mean what like normal people understand an executive summary to mean, or do you just mean lessons?
I can say it to you.
Well, you said lesson. There's the Democratic playbook, the playbook that you said you didn't sign up for in DNC for sure. But I know that NBC News said that before Easter about a month ago, you told DNC officers on a call to expect an executive summary in short order.
Okay.
Officers on that call told NBC they still haven't received one. You told.
Unfortunate pause.
A North Carolina DNC member who's drafting a resolution to force the report's release.
There's a URL. Okay, I want to take a look at that real quick. I'm sorry, guys. I just want to make sure that I'm understanding these lessons. I got options.
Look, we're 189 days away from this election. You said on the top end of this that what you care most about is helping us to win elections. Okay, let's focus on the elections coming up, John. You
know what? I want to focus on winning them. I feel like an autopsy on what went wrong and when we lost the popular vote in all those states in 2024 and figuring out what.
I'm happy that Favreau is finishing his point. He's not stopping. Just keep going.
I feel like an autopsy on what went wrong and when we lost the popular vote in all those states in 2024 and figuring out what went wrong based on a big report is pretty important for everyone to know.
I've spent my entire career, John, as you know, since 1990, winning elections up and down the ballot, both in Minnesota and across the country.
I appreciate that.
And I'm happy to talk to you about winning elections. If you want to actually talk about elections, I'm happy to talk to you about those.
This is like super aggressive.
He means from John, right? No shot is he saying, which is funny because this is the exact opposite criticism I had of Ken Martin. Ken Martin is way too meek in this conversation. He's way more aggressive. There's no way the piece goes saying that Ken Martin is being too aggressive.
Talk to you about winning elections. If you want to actually talk about elections, I'm happy to talk to you about those.
This is like super aggressive. This guy hates Jon Favreau.
This is also why I'm saying, because of how these like media mindfuck cycles work, you should not be charitable to any of these people. You don't get anything for it. You have to understand the types of interviews. This guy just slotkinned himself into a Breaking Points interview. And people like Pisco don't have the media savvy. I don't think Pisco does it intentionally. I just think he doesn't have the political savvy to understand what he's watching. He's not sophisticated enough to understand politics at this level. But people like Hassan and the Majority Report, they absolutely know what they're doing. Well, I say that to be fair, I haven't watched their thing yet. My predictions on how all these cycles operate could be completely and totally wrong, and maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, and I'm happy to talk to you about winning elections.
This is one of the issues that you run into is if you're not aware of how this structure operates and you step into a hostile interview and you expect it to be a friendly interview, you can't win ever. You're only going to lose.
To swap it up, right?
I don't know if it's even a good idea to do a hostile interview, because if conservatives are doing hostile interviews, they're doing it with the wind in their sails. Okay, they're doing it with all the talking points already ironed out on their side. Conservatives aren't fucking field testing novel ideas on adversarial platforms. Fuck it, they don't even fucking go on adversarial platforms. Same with far left people. They're not going on adversarial platforms to platform a brand new idea to present a new idea to the public. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I would recommend it. He could, but he needs to step up knowing that this is going to be a hostile interview and I need to battle. Because
do you think he knew it was going to be a hostile interview?
I don't know if these guys know any of this. I have no idea. I don't know the Pod Save guys enough, because I don't watch them enough to know if they're like bad faith actors or if they also just lack the modern political savvy to know what role they're playing in this. I just don't know. I know they were really active a long time ago, speechwriters for Obama, whatever the fuck that means. But I don't know if they're fully aware of the part that they're playing in this. I just don't know.
When I actually talk about elections, I'm happy to talk to you about those.
This is like super aggressive. This guy hates Jon Favreau.
But again, you're proving the point that I think many folks, I think, are frustrated in this party, which is people want to turn backwards to relive.
Oh my, the people who are frustrated right now is the Democratic base who sees our leaders doing sus shit and not being upfront with them. Whether it's Schumer on these shutdowns and the secret conversations he's having, maybe being okay with the shutdown continuing, maybe not. Whether it's...
Oh my God, senators are talking behind closed doors? What? Schumer needs to get on Zoom right now. Why isn't Schumer in the goddamn Discord chat telling us all what's going on? We need to have a Discord chat. Schumer's not live. Where's the stream? I haven't seen Schumer turn his stream on in weeks. I need to be informed on what's going on right now.
Democratic leadership in the House.
Meanwhile, the entire MAGA movement. How do you feel about the fact that Trump and every single other Republican up there lied to you about Project 2025? I don't know, kind of based, I guess. Good for them. Hell yeah, man. They fucking got you fucking retards, didn't they? Well, they lied to you, didn't they? I don't know. We fucking won, bro. Get fucked. Eat my ass. Okay.
Being weird about votes on the War Powers Resolution, not being clear with their voters, being cringe as fuck, or whether it's the DNC not releasing this autopsy and only releasing lessons. That's what, if you ask any Democratic loyalist, your base, your supporters, the people.
And by base and supporters and loyalists, he means all of the commie weirdo fucks that have become obsessed yes, that's the only thing he means, of course.
Who are championing this cause, trying to defend this country. Who are they more frustrated with? Jon Favreau or you right now? There's not even a question in my mind.
Most of them probably have no idea who Jon Favreau is. Not to be mean. Most of them don't know who I am. Most of them don't know who Son is. Most of them have no fucking... Most of them don't know who Ken Martin is! Most of them don't know who the DNC is!
Most of them don't know their fucking representative.
Right, yeah.
In my bank account, all the money in my wallet, everything I own, that people are frustrated more with you in the posture of this conversation than with Favreau. And it's not just based on the substantive position, though it is also that. It's how you're framing it. It's the kind of, talking down, minimizing the repetition of buzzwords... And just giving John the runaround. Just be direct. Be clear. And if you can't be, level with why you can't be. I can't disclose because that would do this.
But he's already said that, but you don't accept that answer. Pisco was looking for Ken Martin to say that Netanyahu and the rest of the gave you guys a call and the AIPAC money came in and told you guys not to talk about. That's what Pisco's looking for. That's what he's waiting for. No other answer will suffice at this point.
Can't say that because that would make them, I guess, look bad, right? So we have to take a negative inference, right? If there's no...
You don't really have to. No, it's not civil court, okay? You don't have to assume that he's fucking lying. Like, could we not fathom reasons why? We really couldn't think of a single reason why maybe it wouldn't be a good idea. Not to say that... And also, I'm not a fucking Ken Martin, okay, suck up. Listen, I had to skip his interview because Pixie decided to drop her meme stack about me. the day that I was supposed to interview this guy. So I'm not even a fucking Ken Martin stan, but I'm just saying we really can't like fathom why this would be a bad idea. We can't take him seriously, obviously. We can't listen to anything he's saying.
Smoking gun. If there's basically no money that was spent on this, but it was exhaustive, whatever, and you're withholding it, but you're releasing the lessons, it does seem that we need to take an inference from that. And the inference is you don't want it to be released. And not only do you not want it to be released.
Well, that's not an inference. That's the stated fact. Obviously, they don't want to release it. The question is why. That's what you're inferencing.
You can't be candid about why you don't want it to be released. And so that, I'm sorry, the rational thing to do in that context is to take a negative inference.
Okay.
That you are not aligned with the Democratic base or that you think that...
The DNC chair head is not aligned with the Democratic base. Does he want to lose elections? Is that why? So we're slated to have a historic midterm coming up, and we've outperformed every prior off-season special election thing ever in all of U.S. history. And if Ken Martin's to be believed, last year was the most successful fundraising year ever in the history of the DNC. And all of that was accomplished by them ignoring lessons and wanting to lose and being not aligned with the base. What the fuck are we even saying here? What the fuck does this even mean?
There's some sort of goal that you have that's not in line and will not be received well. Whether that is Israel-Palestine, whether that's particular candidates, whether that's...
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Not
APAC,
helping
APAC.
Primary challengers.
APAC.
I don't even know. I'm not even alleging anything, but... <it's>
totally... I'm not even alleging anything.
He's
was Israel-Palestine the first thing that came up there?
Be rational for people to be sussed out at the conduct here and to take a negative inference. The report would be weaponized against Democrats.
He did say that. Good job, Patriot Pete. And now he's going to be like, oh, Peter's going to be like, what? Weaponize it? What? And the funny thing is like Pisco has all the mental tools to know this, and I know he did with that fancy fucking law degree, with that fancy fucking job he was working in fancy fucking New York City. How many times have you told somebody on the witness stand at a deposition when you're filing paperwork, oh, just write like as much as you want? Like if they're asking you a question, bro, it's a you got all day. There's not
be
a fucking
exhaustive.
Time limit on this shit. Yeah, be exhaustive. Cover every single base from top to bottom. What could they use against you as long as you're in the right? Right? I'm sure Pisco gives the same advice when it comes to talking to cops. When I get pulled over, I have a fucking ejection seat so I can get the fuck out of my car immediately so the cops can go and search fucking everything. I like to put an empty dube right on my fucking dashboard just to give them probable cause to go through my shit so they can arrest me and at least feel safe. I want the cop to feel safe. I don't want him to think like, can I detain this guy? He's going to sue me. Bro, I got weed right here. Arrest me, bro. Go through my car. You're not going to find anything.
I'm drunk.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. Sometimes I'll take a couple of... methanol breath mints so that I can smell like alcohol so the cop feels, you know, like, oh, good, I can arrest this guy and everything.
There's parody there. The release of the report will be weaponized against Democrats. The failure to release will be weaponized against Democrats.
Oh, he's so close. Oh, it's almost like it's a fucking lose-lose.
I mean, that is an excuse never to release any kind of autopsy.
True, which is why Ken Martin should have fucking said it, with fucking idiot.
It proves too much. Maybe this particular report is bad, but then just tell why. Like, this will be weaponized against...
What do you mean you can't say why? That's the whole point of not releasing it. If he tells you why they feel like it would be damaging if they released it, then that means that they can't really... Then that means they would just release it. What?
Because people take the wrong inferences because this data, insert thing here. I don't know, man. This is...
How? What can he say? I don't want to release it because I think people... Because there's something in here about, like, trans people, and we're worried that if we release it, people are going to look at trans people the wrong way. Oh... Thank you, Ken Martin, for saying that. So now we all know not to blame trans people. Or they're going to look at the Israel-Palestine issue, and they're, you know, it might have moved the needle in like one state a little bit. So we think, so people are going to over-index on the Israel-Palestine thing. Oh, okay. Well, now we know why you can't release it. Thank you. Like, what? This is thoughtless engagement. Also, this is thoughtless engagement.
I'm stupid.
Like, it's so funny. He's talking about releasing an autopsy and that nobody will take it the wrong way. And we can't even fucking agree on George Floyd's autopsy, even though we saw a cop sit on his fucking neck for 10 minutes. OK, like what a fucking stupid point. And it's not even that we're disagreeing over whatever. It's that he can't even fathom. He can't even imagine a bad inference.
24 election, to point fingers, to place blame, to
make one lesson.
Hey, you know, sometimes it's important to place blame, actually. It's actually sometimes important to place blame and to realize who we should trust, who we shouldn't trust, who we should go with, who we shouldn't go with, what ideas are working and what ideas are not working.
To win elections, they want to win elections,
they know it, right?
Theoretically. Well, but I mean, we don't really know they know it. We would have to check and see, like, how they're performing in elections. Oh, they're doing historically well. Or we'd have to see how they're doing with their fundraising. Oh, well, they're doing historically well.
Historic highs.
In the way of the lessons and why we lost the 24 election in the years preceding that. Happy to share those. We're sharing those out with everyone. But again, this conversation doesn't help us actually win elections. All it does is continue to turn people inward. What we need to do is focus on the work we need to do in 189 days. Learn the lessons. And I'm happy to go over what those lessons are. I'm happy to go over them with anyone who wants to talk
about
them.
All right, let's just move on. I mean, he's not going to get any more. So what are the fucking lessons?
But what I'm not going to do is release a report that turns everyone backwards, trying to either point fingers or place blame.
And Pisco even kind of stumbles onto it. Because again, I don't think Pisco is intentional here. He just lacks the political savvy to know what role he's playing. That would have been, I don't think John actually asked that question. That actually would have been a good question. Wouldn't it have been? Well, what were
then what are the lessons?
Yeah, what were some of the lessons? What are you talking to other politicians about? That would actually would be a good question. Now, I wonder if Piso is going to get upset that John never actually fucking asks anything besides this one point that he was trying to crucify Ken Martin on.
Actually ignore their own responsibility in helping us to fix the situation. The reality is, you know, we all have a responsibility. Yourself, myself, everyone, and actually learning those lessons, focusing on the upcoming election, putting them into action so we don't...
He says lesson again,
That's what we've been focused on, John.
So Steve Shale, longtime Democratic strategist who's run Florida for the party, told the Washington Examiner that there's a, quote, financial penalty specifically tied to burying the autopsy.
Oh my God. He won't let it go. Respect to Favreau, he really won't let it go. I mean...
Respect. Now, when Ken was standing 10 toes down, it was, man, Ken fucking hates this guy. Right? Remember, underlying facts are all the same, okay? Ken fucking hates this guy. Man, he's being really hostile. He's being real mean. That was, or he's, what did he say? He's being really mean. Ken fucking hates this guy. But when John, who, by the way, John just accused Ken Martin of basically being fucking bribed for burying the autopsy. That's what John just accused Ken Martin of. He's accused me of being bribed. There's a financial incentive for you guys to not release the autopsy, which what the fuck does that even mean? Why the fuck would they commit? This is like when people say that Kubrick was killed for the 30 minutes of secret footage at the end of Eyes Wide Shut or whatever. Like all of Hollywood was okay with letting him film, you know, something that would have brought down the whole pedophile conspiracy ring, but they didn't want it released, so they killed him and cut the foot. Like what the fuck is this conspiracy? It doesn't even fucking make sense, right? Like that was a pretty aggressive accusation, but for John, whew, mad respect.
Brave.
Mad respect.
Tied to burying the autopsy.
Oh my God. He won't let it go. Respect to Favreau. He really won't let it go. I mean, I would have let it go already. He's not, this is just pointless.
Quote, financial penalties. Longtime Democratic strategist who's run Florida for the party told the Washington Examiner that there's a, quote, financial penalty specifically tied to burying the autopsy because donors want a clear accounting before recommitting. The DNC is entering April with negative net cash on hand. So even on your own, you know, standard of does this help us win, is it possible that the autopsy decision is actually costing you the money you need to win?
That's just inaccurate, John. And I'm sure you
negative net cash on hand? He just means debt, right?
Think so, yeah.
Hold on. What can your can't your cash on hand just be zero? Can you have negative cash on hand? Is there like antimatter cash? Is that a real accounting term? Where somebody show me this. Maybe it is. I don't know. I feel like
I feel like
the lowest cash on hand you could have is zero. You'd have zero cash on hand. I don't know how you could have debt. You could also have cash on hand and debt. I don't know how you have negative cash on hand. I don't know. Whatever.
Help us win. Is it possible that the autopsy decision is actually costing you the money you need to win?
That's just inaccurate, John. And I'm sure you
don't
follow the campaign finance reports like I do. We raised $105 million in 2025, a record amount of money for the first
you
year.
You're not have negative cash on hand right now. You don't have debt.
We do have debt, John, and that's because I took out a loan.
Maybe they bounced the bank account. That could be maybe negative cash on hand. So as soon as you deposit cash in, it has to pay the bounce fee. Negative cash on hand.
Year to make sure we can make deep investments. You know what we've been doing, John? We raised a record amount of money, $105 million. It's the most raised for the first year chair of any DNC chair in the history of this party. And you know what?
Is a loan not negative cash on hand? No, my understanding is, I can look it up. Let me just, so I'm not being fucking retarded. Well, if it's not on Investopedia, then I don't know the answer. My understanding would be cash on hand is like you have like cash or cash equivalents, basically some super ultra highly liquid thing that you can use to buy or to buy something, buy or sell, to buy something, right? Like how much money could I spend right now? So if I had a $10 million loan and a $5 million asset, but I had $100,000 in my checking account, well, my net worth is $4.9 million negative, but I have $100,000 cash on hand, right? I have cash I can spend, but I'm in debt $4.9 million. I could spend all my cash on hand. I could spend all my cash to pay down my debt, but I do have cash.
Great. You know what's great about it? We raised in 2017, which is an analogous year, a year right after a presidential loss. Tom Perez raised $40 million less than what we raised this year.
He didn't have the debt that you guys had.
Yes, he did. He had $76 million in debt. And so my point to you...
Notice how John can fire off like lie after lie, like all these just raw incorrect facts and no credit given to Ken.
Yeah,
for...
he got a lot of it wrong.
Yeah, he
too.
Did. He got a fuck ton of it wrong because he's doing slop reporting because nobody's doing real reporting anymore. I don't even know if these guys fucking can do real reporting. It's why I can't fucking read or trust anything and anywhere I have to go.
Not even on New York Times anymore, yeah.
Not even on Legal Eagle channel. I read that thing for the guy who was going over the fucking Shadow Docket shit, and I had to go and read through all the things that got leaked because the guy just wasn't summarizing anything correctly, and it's like, I don't know who's reading anything anymore. I don't even think they're using AI summaries because I feel like at least the AI summaries I think would be correct. I don't know.
Or less than what we raised this year.
He didn't have a debt that you guys had.
Yes, he did. He had $76 million in debt. And so my point to you is this, John, okay? I mean, we can trade in all this, but let's actually trade in facts. $105 million was raised. $85 million of it came from grassroots donors, which is a record amount of grassroots donations raised in the history of the Democratic Party. That it shows the energy that's out there. The average contribution is 51.
Yeah, there's energy out there. I mean, I hope if that's true, that's encouraging. I actually saw reporting that it's not such a rosy picture when it comes to sort of the mainline funding entities. But maybe that reporting is wrong.
Okay, but now I don't know if Pisco is a big... hates the donor class type person, but like think about what he just said there. So Ken Martin just said, we've had a record amount of small cash donations for this last fundraising cycle, where we've outraised the DNC at all points in history. It's the most successful quarter year ever. Majority was small cash donations, most ever. And then Peace goes like, what about the donor class, though? What about the big line major donors, though? What about APAC? No, what about the big donors, though? Like, would that objection be brought up ever in any other case about...
No, they wouldn't give a fuck.
What about the donors? The big donors?
I know that in specific races, oftentimes Democrats are doing adequately, but I'm not sure that... I thought I was seeing things that suggested the funding, that there was problems.
Specific races, though, I don't know all the structures of this, but I don't think specific races are what the DNC fundraising is. It's like money for the DNC or something. No, it's not for specific races. For specific races, I think you give to like political action committees or campaigns individually that are aligned, or campaigns or PACs that are aligned with campaigns are specific donation things for races. But the DNC thing is a different fundraising mechanism, I believe.
Problems there. And I hope that that's not true. I hope that's not true.
I felt like you mostly agreed with the Legal Eagle dude by the end. His arguments are pretty similar to the ones Kagan and Sotomayor were making in relation to the EPA stuff, even if it wasn't perfect. The issue that I had, and I don't care if it sounds pretentious, is that if you're talking about like a specific field and you're starting to not recognize or get like jargon-specific terms correct, it makes me highly, highly, highly sus. I can't trust anything you say. Like, if I were to have a person giving me like the best walkthrough ever on like how to build a computer, and he kept calling the CPU like the graphics card or whatever, or like you need to put your graphics card in like the circuit board or whatever, like if you just start using terms like that or something, I would be like mega sussed out. I don't know. And the guy seemed to be he seemed to be using a lot of words like ordinary English language stuff, but not understanding that these are like highly specific legal terms. That's like super sussy to me. But I don't know who that guy on that channel was, so it's whatever. I don't know.
I'm not here to say that there's not energy. The Democrats are absolutely have energy. They're walking over nails to vote in like random dog catcher elections and to blow out in 20 plus wins special elections and to just stunt on these Republicans in the Wisconsin Supreme Court election. It's like a 20 point win or something, right? It was like a crazy overperformance in Wisconsin. So there's energy out there. That's not the question. The question is the conduct of the DNC. That's what's up for discussion. And maybe you're doing a good job raising the money. I'm not saying that you're not, but I think it's kind of, it's not really what he's getting at with this report issue.
$1, by the way, John. And, we raised more than any of the other committees last year, the DS, the DCCC. And I will just tell you this, all of the Republican committees raised more than the DNC. And so that's just a reality of coming out of a year when you lose a presidential election, when you're the party that's out of power. Of course, you're going to not raise as much money as the Republicans. But to suggest that we're not raising money is inaccurate. We raised $32 million in the first quarter. But what we're doing that's a little different, John, is we're spending it. We're raising it and we're spending it.
Because this reminds me of like the coalition conversations is like, this is, okay, work with me here, folks.
Look at that fucking dono.
What?
He's so aggressive towards a potential ally for no good reason.
Who is? Oh, he's referring to Ken Martin. Oh, yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Sure.
Alyssa Slotkin interview. John Favreau. John Favreau is crystal ball. Oh, that's going to trigger people. I think that people think that Favreau's questions are...
Wait, I actually agree with this. But I think for the most horrible reason. I forget. Does Pisco think that the interview that... that Slotkin got on Breaking Points was fair?
Are more fair. Because it's... Work with me here, folks. Alyssa Slotkin interview. John Favreau. John Favreau is crystal ball. Oh, that's going to trigger people. I think that people think that Favreau's questions are more fair. Because it's more obvious to them that the report should be released. But just notice, this is a highly, highly contentious, highly sort of high-pressure interview.
Yeah,
this is a confrontational interview.
It is.
Permission to treat the witnesses hostile. I'll show you hostile.
It's one of the lessons we learned.
You guys have 13.9 million cash on hand, right? I'm reading the report. 13.9 million cash on hand. 18.3 million.
Well, I think that's good. So that means that Pisco recognizes that the Breaking Point Slotkin interview was incredibly hostile. Maybe he just doesn't see the broader problem with this, I guess. I don't know.
In debt, so that's roughly negative $4.4 million. And I know it's a tough drive for the party out of power, but the DSEC and the DCCC and the Senate candidates have plenty of money. They're all doing great. So it seems like this is an issue unique to the DNC.
That's not accurate, John. Listen,
what part is accurate?
The reality is we're spending money as we raise it to win elections and to build infrastructure. We have invested.
So what's not accurate? Are his numbers wrong?
Yes, he's corrected him on basically every single... Why pause it? Why pause it in the middle of his answer? Let him answer the fucking question. Hello? Wait, what?
This is hostile. I'll show you.
Hand, right? Let me read the report. 13.9 million cash on hand, 18.3 million in debt. So that's roughly negative $4.4 million. And I know it's a tough drive for the party out of power, but the DSEC and the DCCC and the Senate candidates have plenty of money. They're all doing great. So it seems like this is an issue unique to the DNC.
That's not accurate, John.
What part is not accurate?
The reality is we're spending money as we raise it to win elections and to build infrastructure. We have invested.
So what's not accurate? Are his numbers wrong? You can say like, no, I mean, those numbers are right, but we're doing it because we want to win races. And we are winning races, John, or something, something. But just saying it's not accurate. You're basically saying, okay, Favreau's an idiot. Favreau's making all this shit up. You're part of the problem. There's no money problem.
I mean, like, yeah, he kind of has been. Yeah, he's kind of fucked up a lot of shit in here.
Well, everything is good. And those numbers, they're not even...
Nobody's saying everything is good and everything is perfect or whatever else, but...
Accurate. And what the fuck do you know?
What the fuck does he know?
Condescending, man. Say what's not accurate.
He is. People say that's not accurate. He has. He's corrected him like 20 times.
Bring up a new topic. This was like handpicked. Someone made this interview to trigger me as much as possible. Someone specifically designed this to make me as furious as possible. Given his conduct, it's crazy.
Significant amounts of money, record investments in Virginia and New Jersey, investments in Mississippi in their state legislative races to help them flip these states, the Republican supermajority in their state legislature, investments in the Miami mayoral race to help us win a Democratic elected mayor in the first time in 3 years, investments in...
Hey, that's sick, you know, Bet. I mean, that's awesome that we're helping do those races. What was not accurate about what Don Favreau said?
The PSC races in Georgia to help us win the first two non-federal elected races, statewide races in 20 years.
It's just a filibuster. I mean, you're not on the campaign trail anymore, my guy. You're not on the campaign trail. Let's level set here. Let's just talk. I mean, you're not having a conversation at the moment. You're not engaging with him as a human being. Mm-hmm. You're doing PR for yourself. Mm. Yeah, man. And the thing is, right? The armor is, well, I don't want to fuck over Democrats. Have you ever seen that? People are like, oh my God. I watched the video on the quartering stuff. I'm not going to get into it. I don't really cover that kind of content, to be honest with you. But there's an accusation like he's using this person as a shield against different criticisms that people are having of him, okay? I almost get that feeling like that he's more worried about his reputation, the job he's doing, and how that's being perceived, than just having a conversation in the moment, you know?
I mean, he's the chair of the DNC. He kind of has to be. What do you mean?
History, you know, investments throughout the country, up and down the ballot, and investments in infrastructure, including the largest investments ever in a 50-state party strategy, where we're making the biggest investments in building out the infrastructure of our state and local party committees. You know, one of the lessons we learned, by the way, John, from the last election is that we waited too long to spend money. In fact, the Republican Party.
And listen, I'm not saying that Ken Martin is irredeemable or whatever. Like, I'm not trying to say that Ken Martin is public enemy number one. This is just not a good exchange, man. And it's not what we want to hear. And maybe you knew that going into it. Maybe this is another one of those positions where no matter what, your poll numbers are going to go down or people aren't going to be happy with what you have to do. These are like the hard choices that we the insiders elected you to do. Maybe that's what's going on. But it doesn't have to be like this, man. It doesn't have to be this style interview.
Starting in 2020, right after Biden won that race, the Democratic Party packed up the campaign infrastructure. Trump and the Republicans kept going. They kept spending money. They kept organizing. They kept communicating with voters. We did not. And as a result, they had a 3.5-year long head start and going into the 2024 election. We had 10 million Democrats who actually chose the couch instead of voting in 2024. And part of the reason why is because we weren't communicating with them early and often.
How do you know that, Mr. Martin?
The Democratic Party decide last,
what?
Last year to start doing.
Because they didn't come out and vote? What does he mean? There were way more people that voted for Biden then voted for Kamala Harris. I don't even know what we're contradicting here. Well, hello? Am I missing some part of that sentence? What?
Listen.
If you press, he wasn't my first pick. Trolling.
True.
And yeah, I think this sucks. And if this is a style of leadership, then that's not good. The truth is, I can't say more
right
than that
now.
Because I haven't been staying apprised of I'm relying on John Favreau's representations of the numbers, and so I don't really think that I can make a full judgment on his job as DNC chair, as ignorant as I am, just on the basis of this interview. But I will know that I'll just say he wasn't my first choice, and that this is a bad interview.
We have our local listener program that's already engaging through year-round organizing those voters who dropped off in 2024. You have to spend money to win elections. And one of the lessons we learned is if we wait. Now look, I know you came up in a certain time and day in politics, but the old conventional wisdom, John, it doesn't fly anymore.
Condescending. You came up in a certain time, the old way, bro.
I'm pretty sure. Well, I don't actually know, but is Ken Martin older than John?
He looks older.
Yeah, wait. What are you? Come on, bro. Holy shit.
You guys, he seems younger than you a bit, and you're basically saying he's stuck in his ways, and so he's taking shots at Favreau.
Favreau literally accused him earlier of accepting financial incentives to bury the autopsy, bro. What?
And you're basically saying he's stuck in his ways. And so he's taking shots at Favreau. Favreau, who, when he's asking these questions, yeah, he's being persistent, but he's being good-natured about it. And these are just like attacks back.
The conventional wisdom is that you waited to make investments until the final 3 months of the election because that's when people were paying attention. Well, guess what? That's bullshit. It's shown. We have to start early. We have to build that infrastructure. We have to flex that muscle early of having conversations with voters so that we actually position ourselves to win. Now,
So if he had framed the answer from the beginning, listen, their numbers are correct, but we need to spend money early, and this is why. How much better would that answer have been? Instead of being like, oh, the old way, you grew up in a certain time, and you certainly don't know this.
Look at how, this isn't even this is just a tone criticism or whatever. It's not even a real substantive, but it just plays into everything else so much.
if this was just all building and all positive and not having any of this like negative, and maybe they feel hard done by something that pod, I haven't been following.
Maybe this was, if this would have been good natured and positive. Meanwhile, this started off with, like, Pisco already acknowledged that this was a hardcore hostile interview. Like, John literally spent the first 15 minutes trying to bring Ken back to answer for this quote and like quote mind him like twice.
Following so closely the feud that's been happening here.
Now, are you criticizing me for spending money early? Because that seems to be what the thing is. And guess what?
No, don't frame it as a criticism. You're going to lose everyone watching the interview, Mr. Martin.
That is true. Pisco's right about that. He just doesn't understand why. It was always designed to be that way. There's no world where anybody that would have been on Ken Martin's team, they're never coming out from this thinking that Ken Martin did well. That's never going to be the case because it's a hostile interview. The most he can do is remain neutral and hold ground. That's the most he can do. That's it. That's why you don't do... That's why every single person in the media world now has learned never to do hostile interviews because you can never gain from them unless you're forced to because everybody's doing them.
Mr. Ken? Kenneth? If you frame it like you're agreeing. So I agree with you, John, that we would like to see more money, but I'm not going to not spend right now because it's a new era and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I know that we're going to get out ahead. And I know that you agree with me. Like, this is not a way to convince people. And I know because this is the kind of shit that I like to do. And I very often when I'm in these debates, you know, I'm not convincing tons of people because they, especially in like real time, you're not going to break like, by confronting them and paying the opposition. It's just because I like to do it. I like to be clear and I like to be analytical about how we do it, but I'm not convinced that my style or being confrontational like this is the best way to actually convince your interlocutor.
No, I think it's great that you're spending money early, and I think it's very important to invest in...
He's like rolling his eyes.
...big parties. I think the strategy is extremely important, but we're talking about two different things. We're talking about spending money and raising money, and you raise 11.4...
Also, by the way, he's not rolling his eyes. It looks like he's got Ken on a monitor up here in order to maintain eye contact, but he's got to look down at his laptop for his fucking talking points, for his hit piece. That's what's going on here, by the way. You can watch the interaction.
No, I think it's great that you're spending money early. And
he's talking to the monitor because Ken Martin must be in front of him, stage right in front of him.
I think it's very important to invest in...
He's like rolling his eyes.
parties, I think.
Now he looks at the camera because he remembers to look at the camera.
Strategy is...
Then he's looking down at his talking about his laptop. Laptop.
But we're talking about two different things. We're talking about spending money and raising money, and you raised...
He looked up to see him in the monitor.
$11.4 million in
down
March.
At his talking points. The RNC camera's in front of him. It's kind of an awkward setup, but...
Raised double.
It's just funny that people are like, oh, he rolled his eyes. Kill me, bro.
That in March. And so if you're going to spend that much money, obviously you have to also raise the money too, because otherwise the difference between investment and just outrunning your costs and taking out a loan because of that is doesn't seem like much of a difference to me.
It's not outrunning our costs, John, because we're able to make these investments all throughout the country and race after race in our state party infrastructure, in our local party infrastructure. You know, if we weren't able to keep up in terms of building out this infrastructure, then there would be a problem. We won over 90% of the elections on the ballot, and most of them, if not all of them, we had a direct involvement in. And I just say this to you, John, because, you know, it was a bet we made. And I get it. You know, again, all the folks in D.C., what they like to, they seem obsessed
folks
about
in
it.
D.C. Obsessive.
They spend a lot of time thinking about it.
He was literally a speechwriter for Obama, bro. Are you saying these aren't D.C.? Where is the Podsafe studio at? Are they in D.C.? Or are they in L.A.? Was Hassan there in person? I don't remember.
How many people have on hand versus actually what are you doing to build out the infrastructure to win? And what is the role of a political party, John? At the end of the day, our job is to build infrastructure that our candidates can tap into to do the things that...
Isn't the most important job of a DNC chair to go and raise money? And obviously,
no, that's what the job of the DNC chair... the job of the DNC chair is singular. It's to win. And guess what I've been doing the last year and a half? Win. And guess what I did for 14 years in a very purple state? Win, John. Right. And I'm just telling you right now, I think you and others who continue to bet against the DNC, keep betting. Because guess what? Here's the reality, John. We're winning.
Yikes.
And we're winning because I'm defining...
Yikes! But if the political teams were changed here, Peace could be like, epic, he fucking owned him. Oh my God, he fucking owned him so hard, bro. He owned him with a fax there, but he's supposed to be like a submissive, breedable, bent over, like get fucked by these weirdo commie fucking losers. Oh my God, I'm so triggered by it. Dude, it's okay.
Obviously, there's a difference between off-year elections and midterm elections and what it's going to take to build the kind of
presidential
to win in 2028, right? I mean, I just think that you've talked a lot about investing in state parties. The headline number is $20,000 a month per state. My understanding is that also includes like the Democratic Party of Guam and the Party of the Northern Mariana Islands, who get basically the same check as Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, North Carolina. I get that every state and territory has DNC members. Every one of them voted in the DNC election you won, but it's also a real chunk of money that's flowing to places without federal races. And so I just wonder if you have this much debt, is like that the right allocation of money to be giving it to state parties in Guam and Northern Mariana Islands when, you know, Axios reported that there's also contemplating layoffs at the DNC?
There's no, again, John, you're just throwing out a bunch of garbage. We've never contemplated layoffs at the DNC. I haven't laid anyone off since I've been there.
Is Axios reporting layoffs at the DNC connected to the funds being spent in those other places? Ken Martin's dysfunctional DNC alarms Democrats. The autopsy. Some insiders refer to as the Minnesota Mafia.
Leaders privately have discussed the possibility of limited layoffs in the coming months. A DNC official told Axios the committee has no plans for staff layoffs.
Damn, this is a lot of like, some person said, some people say, a person has said, Is everything in here just anonymous sourcing?
Many one donor, what,
yeah,
several
it's
donors.
Like Democratic sources tell Axios, many DNC officials, donors, and other Democrats, like a voter? Is that just random people? Criticism has come with this. There's been internal frustration about Martin's reliance on long-term allies. Some Democrats say Martin frustrated many party leaders. National Democrats also say Martin has a habit of overpromising and underdelivering. Is National Democrats National Dems? Is that like an org, maybe? I don't know. Many Democrats agree on one thing. Leaders privately have discussed the possibility of limited layoffs in the coming months. A DNC official told Axios the committee has no plans for staff layoffs. Some Democrats, several donors. What does a donor count as? If I throw $5,000 at
DNC? If you throw $5, you're a donor now.
Do I count as a donor? Well, I wonder if they... Also, what does that mean? Like, discussed the possibility of limited layoffs. What the fuck does that even mean? Like, aren't you always... Like, layoffs are kind of like a key part of... like, what... Like. What does that even fucking mean? Discuss the possibility of layoffs. Like, would-be allies say Martin has held a grudge. One donor who didn't support Martin in the past race put it bluntly. Donors and activists remain angry about Donald Trump's return to the presidency. And the DNC is agreeing to much. Okay, I don't know. Jeez, man.
Martin argued in December that releasing the report would result in more finger-pointing and wouldn't help the party move forward. Many of his allies agree. Like, this seems totally reasonable.
Sure. But I also can understand why people would be upset if he said he was going to release it and then he doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know why the fuck he would have said
retarded.
That. That's retarded.
I don't know why he said that.
He shouldn't have said that. It was fucking retarded. But the reason for not releasing something like that also makes a ton of sense.
Wait, do we know that he did say that?
I'm going to assume so because Ken has said it multiple times. I'm sorry. John said it multiple times on here and Ken never pushed back on that.
That's true. Yeah.
DNC chair. Okay. And so I just want to be very clear with you again and your listeners, because you're just repeating garbage, pot shots at the DNC. I'm used to taking the pot shots, by the way, and I think the mistake that you and others make is, somehow, I just don't care. I came to this job for one thing, which is to win. And if it wasn't...
But you think that same party allocation to, like, to Guam and everything is worthwhile allocation of funds?
I think it is a worthwhile allocation.
Wild choice here to just wild. A wild choice to do this.
Because when we organize...
To do what?
Everywhere we can win, anywhere. And it's important for us not to just focus on federal power at the expense of state and local power. This is where I'm challenging the conventional wisdom of all these smart people in Washington, D.C. here, which is that the only thing that matters is control of Congress and the presidency. My job is to help us win everywhere, to build power up and down the ballot throughout the country, including in our territories. And so you and I can just disagree on whether or not those are investments that are worthwhile. I believe they are worthwhile. It's important for us to actually build power for our party and our party values everywhere there's Democrats, and we're going to continue to do that. And so whether you think that's a worthwhile investment or not, that's fine. You can take your check back if you don't believe it's a good investment.
Jesus Christ.
Just say, the role of the Democratic Party is to build infrastructure everywhere so that we can win. Let me give you a couple of examples of what that infrastructure
is. You know what he says, like, if you don't want to donate, fine.
Yeah.
You can take it back.
Yeah. Base.
Our voter file and our organizing tools and our data, every candidate, whether they're running for school board or president, relies on that. We spend over $10 million a year on that, John. That's a critical piece of the infrastructure that people rely on. Without the DNC, they would have to do that on their own, all of these candidates. Our voter protection and legal infrastructure that we build, every committee and every candidate relies on us to be out there filing lawsuits and protecting the vote. We filed over 1,000 lawsuits, which is a record number of lawsuits over the last year alone, right? Including being lead plaintiffs in many of the big lawsuits challenging Trump's executive orders. This is a piece of the infrastructure people rely on.
On that, you mentioned the voter file. Yeah. There's been a talk about a meaningful chunk of the DNC's debt traces to the committee buying the Harris campaign's vote.
I like how he just ignores everything and sets up for another line of attack. Holy shit.
File. Is that accurate? Did you guys buy the Harris campaign voter file?
No.
That didn't happen?
No, you're talking about buying a fundraising list, but that's not a voter file.
The fundraising list. Yeah, did you?
Of course.
He misspoke.
I just wondered the rationale for that because it feels
it wasn't just a misspeak. He's trying to play a gotcha journalist here and he's getting facts wrong, Peace Corps. It kind of matters, but.
The DNC and the Harris campaign were operating off largely the same data infrastructure during the campaign, so
you're confusing two things, John. Data infrastructure and fundraising list. Those are separate things. And again.
But even the fundraising list, you guys didn't work out. Like, that was additive. Their fundraising list for $6.5 million was additive to that. That was a good investment.
We purchased that list. And let me just say this, John, that that happens all the time in campaigns and elections, as you know.
Oh, I know. It's a big chunk of money. That's why I was just wondering.
But as you know, John, that happens all the time. So it's not unique to this DNC. It's not unique to prior DNC chairs. It's not unique to campaigns or elections, frankly. Campaigns and elections, at the end of an election, sell their list to cover their debt. And so there's nothing new about that, John. And of course, that's one of the biggest lists and the most valuable lists out there. It's a great investment for the DNC. I'm trying to actually help us raise money so we can compete, so we can win. And that was not only a great investment, it's already paid for itself, and we're glad to be able to do that. And, we buy lists all the time. That's what people do in this business.
Positive America Breaking News is brought to you by ActBlue. ActBlue provides Democrats up and down the ballot with the tools they need to run effective campaigns. Here's the reason I'm just being so tough about all of this. I just think that what I've seen happen before is, especially in off-year elections, midterm elections, when we have the wind at our back, and I feel great about the midterms. I feel really excited about the off-year elections, too, as we head towards 2028. Look, I saw this in 2022. We did well enough in the midterms, and Democratic insiders, Biden administration, everyone else were saying, you know what? This proves that we're going to win in 2024 and we're in great shape. And God, I hope so, because I think we need to win 2028 more than anything. But it concerns me that I see two things. One, this autopsy, which you campaigned on releasing, and I know you're releasing lessons, but are hiding still plenty of the details in the autopsy, and I just can't figure out what details that are in there that you don't...
I mean, why do you think he's going to... He's not going to budge on this forever. I mean, it just...
Even Pisco recognizes, but he's like kind of being a meme or softball about, oh, he got good butt. Like, does Pisco not recognize that asking repeatedly the same question over and over and over again is like a hardcore debate push? Like, this is like a very, very, very aggressive debate strategy.
You're trying to nail someone on the fucking topic. Yeah.
It's like talking to a brick wall.
one out there because you don't trust people with, because they're going to, I guess, argue about them. Because it feels like we really need a robust discussion about where the party's headed, not just pundits like me, but the state party chairs and the DNC committee members who are asking you to release it. They're asking you to release it.
I know you want to keep focusing on that, and that's fine.
Well, I do think the fundraising isn't going well either. So I feel like
the fundraising, that is just completely inaccurate, John.
You had a great first.
Look at John. John's mouth is like wide open. All right, now I think John is being a little bit like, it's clear that he's given the answers he's given.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now we finally got there after 10 times he's pushed on this question. What are we at the end of the interview? He's like, well, okay, yeah, maybe.
Now,
well,
I think
John also lies here and says the fundraising isn't going well when Ken literally just said he has the best fundraising ever. True. Like,
conversation to a productive place, or needs to try to. But I mean, you're just agitating them more, and it's sad that we have to, I don't know, be like monitoring the emotions of our DNC chair like that, and like not trying to.
Oh my! And he's now he's giving cover layups, kind of cover by proxy to John for being a dog shit interview here.
Triggering or whatever, but
be focusing on that, and that's fine.
I do think the fundraising isn't going well either, so I feel like
the fundraising, that is just completely inaccurate, John.
You had a great first year in 2025.
And we've had a great first quarter. $32 million we raised in the first quarter. We raised $4 million in March than Tom Perez did in 2018. We have 50% more cash on hand than Tom Perez did.
But you're excluding debt. You don't have 50% more cash on hand if you include your debt.
John, we do, because at the end of the day, we can pay that debt off whenever the hell we want. I can hold that debt until the end of the year. So the reality is there's nothing that's holding me back in terms of the cash on hand I have to spend it on elections. I can carry that debt all the way through the end of this year and beyond if I want. So that's just inaccurate. I know you know campaigns, but you're just spewing stuff out that's just wrong. We raised $32 million in the first quarter. Okay, we have $15 million on hand. We're able to spend that money on continuing to build our infrastructure and to help us win elections. Okay, and we continue to raise money. Nothing has slowed down. In fact, the fundraising has picked up significantly since even the last November's elections in 2025. So, listen.
And I know the grassroots fundraising has been great. I know that.
They cut right there.
There's plenty of reports about this. I've talked to plenty of people about this. That a lot of big donors still have not come off the sidelines, and part of the reason is that there's a trust issue based partly on the autopsy.
Yeah, I'm just not seeing that, John, and I appreciate that. I don't believe that to be the case. Maybe you're talking to donors that I'm not. I highly doubt it. But the donors I'm talking to who are holding back. They're not holding back because they're frustrated with me. And they're not holding back because they're frustrated with the DNC. It's just the opposite. And so I think people see that we are actually putting into action the lessons we've learned. We're actually building the infrastructure we need. We're competing up in the down the ballot. We're making the investments throughout the country to make sure that we're organizing everywhere. I mean, part of the challenge, John, is we've talked about this on the show before, that this party for years, and this is why I ran for it, has had a very myopic vision of just focusing in on one campaign cycle, one candidate, one campaign at the expense of a long-term strategy. And for us to break out of that, we actually have to have a long-term strategy. And that requires us to build through the lens of building long-term infrastructure. And so, you know, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you throw all your eggs into one basket, which is one campaign or one campaign cycle, then you built nothing permanent. Or if you do as I am, right, which is to start building the permanent infrastructure we need to have a long-term strategy, then you get blamed because you don't have enough cash on hand to compete with the Republicans. Well, the reality is we've been competing with the Republicans and building the long-term infrastructure at the same time. And so what I would ask you to do is just think about this differently. The old conventional wisdom of how we do campaigns, I came in here, and as I said, I'm challenging that conventional wisdom. I'm challenging the idea that we just invest in the final 3 months at the expense
of a
long-term strategy.
I feel like you brought this up a few weeks ago, how you were talking to people in, like, the Democratic community and how, like, after the campaigns, it's like it dies.
Yeah.
So it seems like Ken's talking here. It's like, we're fixing that.
Some type of thing like that.
Yeah. Now, onto this. So DNC chair Ken Martin, who I actually saw at the Grindr party in DC this past week, is going viral for an interview he did with Pod Save America. It says here the DNC wanted to avoid another public debate over how the
So remember, the point of your friendly platforms is you get the talking point out there, and then everybody else will begin to resonate the exact talking point, which my guess is fuck Ken Martin and please God give us the report for Israel-Palestine. That's my guess. But I haven't followed this particular story close enough to know if that's really what people are obsessing over. That's my guess, though. But we'll see, I guess. Keith Edwards is, my guess is he's a big pro-Pali guy, because I feel like I've seen a lot of tweets from him on Twitter about, like, the fucking sloppulous shit. But I could be wrong. I might be mixing up with... There's a lot of K guys, like Ken Klippenstein and the Krasensteins and Keith Edwards. I don't know if I'm mixing him up with somebody else. I'm not sure. I might be, actually.
Party lost the White House to Donald Trump.
Shervian, I love you. I don't have time for a 7-hour conversation right now, okay? Careful.
Instead, has turned its focus on recent successes and former President Joe Biden's decision to run for re-election despite his advanced age and his disastrous debate performance were not even mentioned in what they decided to release. And that brings us to this interview where Ken Martin's asked about what... So what happened is that the DNC did a postmortem, an autopsy on why we lost in 2024, okay? I personally believe you can't change or learn or do better if you can't understand where you made mistakes. It's a very healthy, normal thing to do, okay? I'm in therapy, and part of therapy is understanding how you feel, but also understanding how your feelings affected your actions. And if you can't do that, then you're more likely than not to repeat the same behavior. So that's why it's a little upsetting that we had this autopsy that says some of the reasons why Democrats didn't win in 2024. Ken Martin came out and said he was going to release the autopsy. He said that multiple times, and they never released it. They prevented it. And good on Jon Favreau for really grilling him on this, and here it is.
I want to start with the 2024 autopsy, which you call an after-action review. When you won the chairmanship in February of 25, you criticized the DNC's refusal and then promised your 20...
What I said all along, making sure those lessons, we can actually help us.
So much timber on...
But if there's people coming over...
Why wouldn't you just release
it? Well, we don't need anything that can help. There's some sort. There's nothing.
And do it. Just Yardie Chair, Democratic.
Make the analogy about therapy.
Clayton and Anderson said, quote, genuinely, what did you all find that we did not?
How do you feel about it? I'm going to make the analogy about therapy one more time because he's like, we just want to learn the lessons. Like, okay, great. So six people at the DNC learned the lessons. But like, it seems to me that if you're not releasing the autopsy, you're not having an honest conversation about what we could have done differently, what we did.
Well, but it sounds like they're sharing the lessons. Like, whether you agree that that's a good strategy or not, it doesn't sound like they're keeping all of it secret. It sounds like they are sharing it just with the election officials or whatever who are running in different places, right? That now, whether you agree that that's a good or bad thing, that sounds like what the answer was.
Did wrong as a party, what we missed the mark on, then we're bound to repeat it again. And it's almost as if a partner were to cheat on you and they committed to doing things differently, they're like, well, let's just learn the lessons from this, but let's stop navel gazing. It's like, well, okay, well, I feel like you're like moving past the most important part, which is looking methodically at how this happened to make sure it doesn't happen again. Am I losing my mind? That just seems to make so much sense to me. If you want to fix something, all you got to do, it could be a little messy to look at what you did wrong, but I think let's get a little messy. If not now, then when? And by the way, talking about election in 189 days.
Isn't this more akin to like you told your friend that you were going to tell him why you cheated on the partner and then you never did, but you told the partner why and then you fixed the relationship like yourself from like the inside versus like going and telling your friend fucking every dirty detail?
Maybe. But I mean, like, Ken Martin shouldn't have said they were going to release it. It was a mistake.
No, he shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But the
difference is that if, like, these people were on the same team, then John would have helped him. Like, it would have been a friendly Hannity-style interview. Yeah, it would have been a layup thing. Like, okay, I understand. So, obviously, there are reasons why you think it might not be productive to release this. Can we, like, well, can you at least share, like, some of the lessons that you guys learned? Like, it would be like a let's go on from there.
Yeah, it would be let's move on. All right, you can't release it. Let's talk about
exactly
what you learned.
Yeah.
Y'all sat on this shit for so long, and now you're like, well, it's too close to the election. That's not fair. I hate that.
Well, that's not.
I really hate that.
Really,
this is the shit that people hate in politics. It's like, you said you're going to do it, you said you're going to do it, you're going to do it, and then you don't do it, and then you're like, but we did do it. No, you didn't. You said you were going to release a full report.
All right. Someone says here, see, the mistake the DNC made is they could have released a report earlier in the spring, whatever is in it. You get 2 weeks of bad publicity, then Trump does something stupid and everyone forgets. Now it feels like something's being hidden, which makes it more salacious.
That's not
true. By the way,
it
if you're the DNC, you have access to that report.
What?
They would be talking about the bad publicity from this if it was Israel Palestine.
100%. I'm vibing hardcore on this. My vibe is that the online lefties just really, really, really want to see Israel Palestine written somewhere in there.
I guess. Yeah.
Or my email is below. You can leak that shit, and we will post it. The White House posted this. Two Kings. Can we?
Okay. Well, we got that out there.
So eager to learn it. I mean, the smoking gun. Guess.
Why is Dem leadership terrified of the truth?
That's what, John.
But if there's no smoking gun, why wouldn't you just release it then?
Because we want to keep the focus on the lessons. Because what ends up happening here is that people, of course, want to weaponize the report in a way.
I feel like I'm watching a Coen Brothers movie.
We've had multiple occasions. I guess it was on Friday this came up with Sted Herndon. I can't remember what other guests earlier in the week. And it's an easy go-to.
So goal here, remember, the goal for this coverage is going to be to shit on Ken and the reason that he gave as much as possible. Basically glaze John for holding him accountable, doing an amazing job. And then this is just a vector to attack the mainstream Democrats and all this over and over and over again. That's what this my guess is. That's what all of this coverage will be about, basically.
To make a joke about, as we talk about, like, what's going to help with elections in the fall, it's an easy go-to to go, like, God, it's too bad the Democrats don't have, like, what I would call maybe an autopsy, where they could look back and see why they lost. And, in fact, the reason why it's a joke is because they do, and we know that they're burying it, and we don't know why. And it's a great question. And
I mean, what great football coaches do is when they have a bad loss that they prepared for, they take the game tape and they don't show it to the rest of the team.
They
just keep it within the head coach, the offensive coordinator, and the defensive coordinator.
And also,
I like how she was so close to actually making a good sports analogy, but actually made the most retarded sports analogy in the world. Like, you know how when players are watching tape, they do that on Twitch.tv? You know how when the coach is going over tape of games and everything, they're doing it like on fucking live TV and they go over all the plays and everything and all of practices in the most public areas possible and they could see every single thing? She was so close to saying something intelligent, but then she remembered, I'm Emma Vigeland, and I have to make that $50,000 a year private grade school education that my parents paid for, you know, worth it.
So they don't even tell the rest of the team what they saw.
They'll say, hey, this player, maybe we'll give you a hint about who this person is. They messed up, or we're going to move them to, I don't know, play man coverage or something like that in this next matchup, but we're not going to tell you exactly who messed up and who's going to be starting. That's what this is comparable to.
Here is DNC chair Ken Martin. He is being asked by Jon Favreau.
The funny thing is, at least from a football perspective, college football, it's the only thing I can speak to. I don't know anything about any other sport, but in college football, there is only one fucking thing that anybody fucking cared about. And that's whether you won or lost the game. That's it. Nobody gave a fuck about anything else, okay? Is if you made the playoffs And ideally, you win the playoffs. That's the only thing people give a fuck about. Nobody's second-guessing a fucking coach or any bullshit if they're winning games. That's it.
Yeah. On but the lefties don't care about winning.
Yeah, because they never win. They don't win anything or anywhere. They don't give a fuck.
Whatever happens.
And this interview is like 20 minutes long. I would encourage people to watch the whole thing because John does not let up basically the entire time. And it doesn't get better for Ken Martin in his lack of explanation.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So I want to start with the 2024 autopsy.
Why did the Republicans make their report fully public in 2013? I don't know. People done it in the past. Supposedly we made our report public in the 2016 or 2017 one. Somebody in chat said that. And apparently people spent the whole time attacking Clinton with it.
I don't think they did in the 2016. And I thought Ken apparently was saying like it was a bad idea to not release it.
Oh, we didn't do it in 2016? Oh, where do they do? Yeah. Which one do they do it for? Apparently, people have and haven't in past years for this. I don't know. I don't know what the motivating thing is for why people would or wouldn't.
Which you call an after-action review. When you won the chairmanship in February of 25.
Oh, somebody. I'm sorry. I think that chatter said earlier they didn't release it in 2016. And then people showed on Clinton for not releasing it. Is what they said earlier. I think.
Yeah, and then you criticized like, going to release it. Why wouldn't you release it? And
yeah,
then
I
you
didn't
release it. NC's refusal to release their 2016 autopsy is exactly what not to do. You said, quote, was there any utility in doing that? And then promised your 2024 autopsy would be different. Your exact quote was, of course it will be released. Why did you change your mind on that?
Well, look, I mean, what I said all along, even when I ran for this position, is that we were going to focus on the things that will help us win the upcoming election, right? Making sure that we learn the right lessons that could help inform our victories. And that's what we've done. We said this when we sent out the press release back in November, saying we weren't going to release the report. We were going to actually keep our focus on those lessons, and we released those lessons. We continue to do that. And it's important for me, instead of navel gazing and looking backwards and trying to relitigate 2024, I don't know about you, John, but I don't have a time machine. I don't think you do. No one does. So we can't change what happened in 24. The only thing we can do is actually
can you pause it? Okay, I'm going to continue to use this like football metaphor here. One, they would blame, the DNC would blame the fans, right? You guys didn't cheer hard enough for us on the field. And that's what I guess Jim Clyburn said the other day, that the American people need to step up, not the Democrats. It's literally like saying, hey, the fans were too quiet. Yeah. And that's why we suck so bad. And it's not, it's navel gazing. What are you talking about? It's reviewing your failures and trying to assess it. So is it navel-gazing if anybody looks at the report, or is it navel-gazing if you reveal the report to the rest of the public?
We have a dead body here, and we should probably do an autopsy on it, right?
It's like, no, we're not going to do the autopsy because we're not going to bring the guy back to life.
Do you have a time machine? You can stop it from being killed, however it happened?
Right. Why are you so obsessed with yourself, Democratic Party? Stop navel-gazing.
I'm going
to
be very...
Like, again, I'm curious. Do they release every single autopsy to the public? I don't know for crimes, but I know the example I made earlier, we have George Floyd's autopsy. We sure as fuck don't agree on why he died.
Charitable here and tell you that what he's arguing, but he's afraid to say it, is if we open this up.
Is he going
to
say it outright? Oh, God. Hold on. I'm edging myself right now. Okay. Please, God. Please, 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 please.
People get this. It's going to cause arguments.
About what?
I mean, that's what he's saying. And that arguments are counterproductive. And this understand.
I edged. Blue balls. Fuck.
No, hold on.
That the forces of the status quo, the centrist and establishment and more corporate elements, and in this case, I think we all know what it is they're hiding, is...
Ah!
There you go.
Wait!
Well, the implications of Harris's Gaza position.
Israel, Palestine. Yes, true! We yes! Yes! I come! Now, remember...
They always...
Ken Martin said, because he knew, because he's not a retard, regardless of what you think about him, Ken Martin said, people are looking for the silver bullet. And John was like, what? Silver bullet? Silver bullet? What are you talking about? Meanwhile, Majority Report, Gaza. It was Gaza. It was Israel, Jews. Palestine. Jew.
We all know what it is they're hiding is the implications of Harris's Gaza position. They always want to pretend there's no fight going on, but they still want to launch their rockets, essentially.
That's why they're going after Hassan. They're trying to discredit him to foreclose that very conversation that would be embedded in the likely, very likely embedded in the results of this autopsy.
100%. These are not, let's be clear. They're going after Hassan because of Gaza, not because he's for Medicare for...
The cover, bro. It so maps onto MAGA one-to-one. It is the exact same function. They do the same fucking... They even have the same fucking... The same terms. Hassan derangement syndrome. Trump derangement syndrome.
It's the horseshoe.
You don't like Trump? What? Because he wants to lower taxes? What? You don't like Hassan? Because he wants Medicare for all?
These are not, let's be clear, they're going after Hassan because of Gaza, not because he's for Medicare for all or for nationalizing the means of production.
Right. And it's so weird that the same Democrats who are horrible on Israel and Gaza are the same ones that are saying that they're not going to go on Hassan Piker's stream. It's because they have the same mentality, the same loser mentality that Ken Martin.
You have to kiss the ring.
Or you're pro-genocide. I mean, that's fair.
Has here that it's more advantageous for their political purposes to foreclose the conversation, the difficult one that needed to be had before.
You know what's funny, actually, is that it actually, it really doesn't matter what the fuck that report says. If that report says that Palestine was the number one reason that they lost the election, well, first of all, I think they would have acted on it. But it would also, these guys would gain so much power, they would destroy the fucking party overnight. They would feel so vindicated. If the report says that Palestine was a slight factor, but not determinative, even in a single state, these guys would say they buried it. They lied, they underplayed how important it was, and they just threw some lip service in there to keep us quiet. If the report came out and it said Palestine actually had fucking nothing to do with it, these guys would come out and say they fucking lied. They paid some loser. Bet, let's go and check his family. Bet they've got a fucking APAC donor in there somewhere. I bet they do. Or they've got like a guy who's connected to somebody who got money from somebody who was working for somebody who got money from APAC at one point in time in history. 100%. No matter what the fuck that report says, it all leads back to Israel-Palestine.
Yeah. It's a lose-lose.
It's more advantageous for their political purposes to foreclose the conversation, the difficult one that needed to be had before the 2024 general election, and they want to foreclose it forever into the future.
All right, let's continue and watch him sort of obfuscate.
So we can't change what happened in 24. The only thing we can do is actually change what happens in the future, including the 26 election cycle, 28 and beyond. That means we do need to learn the lessons. We need to make sure they help.
Imagine the report came out and it was like, if we would have taken the pro-genocide position, we would have peeled off 2 million voters from Trump's from Trump's camp, but we can't release that because it's going to be over, bro. And all the people that were pro-genocide were black people because they love Jews and they hate Arabs. It would be over.
Inform our decisions that we're making. And we've been releasing those. We released them just a couple months ago in our playbook, which if you want to look at that, go to dnc.org/playbook, and you can get an example of some of the lessons. We've been releasing them with our donors and with activists and party leaders. We've been talking about what those lessons are. And we've actually been putting those lessons into action. And so it's not completely accurate to say that we didn't release that. Where we're keeping our focus is on the lessons that can actually help us win.
But on this show in August, you told me this about releasing the review, quote, we have to do it to give people who invested so much time, energy, and money a sense of what happened and why we lost.
Correct.
Especially why we lost. So what changed between August and December? I understand there are lessons, but those are not the full report. Why not release the full report? What's in the report that you wouldn't want?
Well, first off, there's no smoking gun in the report, and I know that's what everyone's so eager to learn. I mean, the smoking gun. Guess what, John?
But there's no smoking gun. Why wouldn't you just release it then?
Because we want to keep the focus on the lessons. Because what ends up happening here is that people, of course, want to weaponize the report in a way.
I feel like I'm watching a Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah, and also, look at that straw man. There's no smoking gun. I mean, at another point, I think that John points out it's a 200-page report. Of course, I know that it's not a smoking gun. It's a confluence of factors. That's why we need not an executive summary from the people that want to already are engaging in a cover up of the information. We want to be able to parse this through and see where we can improve. So he sets up a straw man to try to like get
I like how she says that. We want to help you guys. We want to see where we can improve. Like, come on, shut the fuck up. Like, you want the Democrats to win in any fucking race ever? You're literally on stream throwing a temper tantrum crying that day that Spanberger and all the there was like 14 different elections across the country happened and the moderate Dems were winning everywhere. She almost like broke down and cried. Okay, I thought she was about to have a Britney Spears moment. She was so upset that moderate Dems were winning across the fucking country.
Away from the fact that he was quoted multiple times saying that he would release the report and now is not doing so.
If you go back just a little bit here, because he's gonna say like people are gonna weaponize things in the report, it's almost as if they're a political party and it is assessing a political election.
Welcome to democracy.
And people are going to make an argument that if this element caused us to lose last time, we should do something different the next time. That's what he means by weaponize. Yeah. Let's just be clear. We don't want this report to be political.
Because remember, Ken Martin and the rest of the corporate Dems don't want to win because they want to make, I don't know. They love Jews and APAC money so much, even if it means losing elections, I guess.
About the Democratic Party.
Go ahead.
One's so eager to learn it. I mean, the smoking gun. Guess what, John?
But there's no smoking gun. Why wouldn't you just release it then?
Because we want to keep the focus on the lessons. Because what ends up happening here is that people, of course, want to weaponize the report in a way to look backwards, to point fingers, place blame in a way that actually doesn't keep us focused on the upcoming election.
But pause it for a second. Okay, look. You're pointing fingers. You're placing blame. In other words, this person doesn't know what they're talking about. So we shouldn't abide by them in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like what he's saying is, listen, if we get into this situation where we release the report, people are going to want accountability, and that's just going to interfere with our ability to continue to do what we're doing without accountability. And so, therefore, ipso facto, no smoking gun, and smile.
And smile. And he just filibusters for the next 20 seconds at the so we can just go to part two here. This is the another part of this interview a little bit later on, where Jon Favreau asks him about how they're able to use the details from the report to operationalize it if they're not able to read it, and it just continues to get more ridiculous.
I know. The answer is Braille.
Learned in action, and I hope others will start to do the same.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out, because it certainly doesn't seem like anyone's looking for one single silver bullet, because it's a 200-page report. So I feel like in a 200-page report, there's a lot of lessons for everyone to take. And if you're going to operationalize it, are you operationalizing it on behalf of people who didn't actually get to see the report? So like, do they know what they're agreeing to when they operationalize lessons from the report if they haven't been able to read the report?
John, you're proving the point.
What's the point?
The obsession on the report without actually focusing in on the lessons. If people believe there's some sort of magic silver bullet in there that's going to solve all of our ills at the Democratic Party.
I don't think there's going to be a magic silver bullet, though. Who thinks that? No one thinks no one thinks there's a magic silver bullet. It's a 200-page report. You interview people in 50 states. You spend a lot of donor money on it. I think people are probably wondering,
we didn't spend a lot of donor money on that, and that's just inaccurate.
You spent a couple hundred thousand dollars on it, right?
No, we did not.
It was a free report?
We did not spend a couple $100,000 on that. The person and people who were involved in it were not paid to do this work. And so I would just say that's inaccurate, John. So I appreciate, I'm not sure where you would even get that number. And so did you have some sort of record that shows we spent any money on that?
I've seen reporting that you did spend money on it. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well, that's inaccurate. Okay, the person who has to do this is an unpaid advisor to the DNC. And so I appreciate, listen,
can you
I appreciate where it's coming from, John, but let's just straighten.
That creates more questions than it does answers. Okay, he's claiming with a straight face that the Democratic National Committee issued a 200-page autopsy of the 2024 election that was done pro bono by an outside advisor to the Democratic Party, including polling, including data analysis, including these summaries, including just all of the work that would go into it. That the DNC got that service to do that for free.
Intern.
And traveled across the country and spoke to all these people.
So the question here, if you were doing like real journalism reporting, punditry, whatever the fuck else, the question here would be, I wonder if that's an ordinary way that people put these together. I don't know. Look at past ones. Do people ordinarily pay for this type of service? Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. That would be an interesting way to approach this topic. But obviously, this is not what we're doing here. The goal is to just play team sports.
For free. Okay, if that's the case.
My cousin's nephew did it.
That's way worse. That's way worse.
Yeah. There he is. There's the guy who did the reporting.
I mean, that's honestly more horrifying. If that's what they're like, that's the way that the DNC operates.
It's a free report.
The reason why people are so-called obsessing about the report is because you won't release the report.
You're Streisand affecting it.
Yeah.
What's fascinating to me is that in 2012, I think it was, Republicans lost dramatically. And they had an autopsy, which told them, like, you got to stop being so anti-immigrant. I mean, it was a big deal for like weeks. Sean Hannity was out there like, we need to change from anti-immigrant. And it was a big deal because Mark Levin was one of the guys who really crushed the George W. Bush immigration initiative, if you will, in 2005. And Hannity and Levin were good buddies. And they had the ability to completely ignore that report like within 6 months and go, like, they resolved it. The idea that there's only lessons to be learned from this, but the data.
Wait, I don't even understand what the point of that was. Wait, what?
Immigration initiative, if you will, in 2005, and Hannity and Levin were good buddies, and they had the ability to completely ignore that report like within 6 months and go, they resolved it. The idea that there's only lessons to be learned from this, but the data that formulated these lessons is too controversial and too easily weaponized, it's just absurd.
Also, just to be clear, I hate that I have to run, like, first of all, it sounds like they released a report and then it was just bad for the Republicans, and then they did ignore it and then they won anyway. So I don't know what the point is bringing this up. But also, like, it feels so stupid that I even have to explain this. Because, again, it's just annoying when people have retarded conversations because they could be having better ones. It's actually probably the most normal thing in the world that you usually don't get access to underlying data when you're running some type of thing, right? You can run programs on your computer without having the source code. That's a super normal thing. You read scientific studies and you can go through tons of literature without ever getting access to the original data sets. That's a super normal thing. You know, there will be action plans or there will be strategies that are part of the framework of your fucking meeting managers and your agile leaders or whatever the fuck framework. Like, it's super normal that people get like a bunch of information, they put it together in the form of some kind of action plan and then give you like the strategies without you ever having access to the underlying reports or data. That's probably the most normal thing in the world. In fact, it's probably less normal that you would have access to all the underlying data. Not to argue one way or another whether it should or shouldn't be released. It's just funny that because this is the conclusion they want, they have to act like everything was so normal that, like, oh my God, like, it's so obvious that this is the right answer. And the reason why they have to oversell how obvious it is that their answer is the right one is to cast the DNC or Ken Martin or whatever into some weird conspiratorial anti-leftist light or whatever.
Why would you do this? Why would you even do this report in the first place? They just didn't like what the results were. And this, of course, is the way that it works.
I generally agree with Destiny's point here and on these guys and Hassan, but based on the political and media landscape right now, authenticity is at a premium. They should release whatever. You're totally fucking wrong. And I understand why you think that, but it's because you've been brainwashed. What's actually at a premium is the appearance of authenticity. You don't know anything about fucking anyone going on anywhere. You think that these guys are authentic. You don't know how they fund their fucking program. You don't know where the original, pretty sure, didn't these guys have like a VC startup that, I remember because I looked this up a while ago for the people that even originally funded the start of the Majority Report, were people that I'm pretty sure today these guys would say they don't like or whatever, but like nobody knows anything about who funds any of the people in media. You don't know where any of their fucking money comes from or why they report on the things that they do. You just have this appearance of authenticity, and it's like, what is the authenticity that you get from these people? It's literally just them playing team sports, right? Like, I mean, you can rewind and tell me if I was wrong, but didn't I tell you what the entire coverage of this was going to be? I guess I didn't predict that they would also use it to slur for Hassan as well, but like, just going off of what I saw from the PodSave interview, like, I could tell you what the entirety of this program was going to be right, was going to be like literally connecting exactly what Ken Martin was saying to this show. When I was joking that John is acting like an idiot, pretending he doesn't know what the silver bullet is, Ken does know what the silver bullet is. And the silver bullet is literally what they said in this show, which was Israel-Palestine. It was the Harris's position on Gaza. Like, it was exactly what these guys were going to say. Like, everything is so predictable with how these things work. But for some reason, it, when you live in different worlds, I guess like people just don't recognize that they, I don't know. Or who knows? Maybe I'm just a hater.
We see this all the time. It is you...
And it's funny, too, because me and Mr. Moon were joking that it was like a lose-lose-lose even if they did release it. And they kind of sort of are on that topic, not in the exact way, when they're like, oh, well, they put it together for free. Well, then I don't even know if I can trust what's in it. I don't even know what, if we that's even a good thing at all. And it's like...
Yep.
And let's be clear. This is not like they think they're having an argument with the right flank of the party. This is an argument they're having with the left flank of the party.
Oh, and here we go. And they're even more explicitly casting it in their little team sports way. Yeah.
And always we hear your ideas are too out there. The American public doesn't want it. You're not listening to the polling, et cetera, et cetera. You're too pie in the sky. But then when they look at the data points and it doesn't come out the way they want it, it sort of subtly shifts. Like, you see this with the abundance stuff. Like, they're constantly moving the goalposts, except for in this instance, goalpost doesn't sufficiently explain it because it's not just a, it doesn't move in just one direction, get far away. It shifts to the left. It shifts to the right. It doubles back behind.
That's a moot point, though. Releasing the report in this case would be the appearance of authenticity. No, it's not. I can't ever prove that to you, but you're totally wrong. Them releasing the report would not do a single flying fucking thing ever. Because like what I said earlier, if it showed that Palestine was a bigger issue than they had originally were forthcoming about, then these people would claim that they are trying to brush it under the rug because they're not being aggressive enough because now they think we need to fucking nuke Israel. If it came out so that Palestine was a bit of an issue, but it's not actually like determinative, even in Michigan, it wasn't a determining factor, then they would say, oh, well, they probably lied about this part. They're sweeping it under the rug. Or if they said that Palestine wasn't a moving issue at all and they should have actually gone even further to the center on it, then they would just claim that it's AIPAC funded. Like, there's no way that they're winning here. Like, it would never, never, ever, ever, ever be.
The way that they're winning is probably actually by not releasing it because all of these people are going to forget about this
probably,
in,
yep,
know,
correct.
2 weeks. How many, this is probably the best scenario.
Yeah, I'm curious. And maybe they were. But I'm curious, was anybody on the majority report or any of these other... Somebody, like, control F on that one website. Were these guys talking about this autopsy before
about the
this
Axios thing?
But no, the autopsy before this interview.
Oh.
Mind you, all this you're caught up in the report and not the lessons that we delineated from the report.
Yeah, what are the lessons? That's the other part where he keeps saying we've got to learn the lessons from the.
Yeah, wouldn't it be cool if John would have asked that question instead of spending 25 minutes of the 35 minute interview, just asking the same fucking question over and over again?
Report.
They put out a document said that these are the lessons from the report that you can't see. But why couldn't you just like? If you're not going to show the report, you might as well just make up lessons.
It sounds like you might be selective about which lessons you're revealing to the public and which big, giant elephant in the room elephants you're elephants in the room lessons that you're leaving out.
Is there more to this? Or we want
it's entitlement, Stephen.
I guess a little bit more, yeah.
Facts on this, right? The reality is we did talk to hundreds of people. It was an exhaustive exercise to really get at what are those key lessons. And I want to be very clear. There's nothing that changed from what I said on the campaign trail to now, which is...
When you were on the campaign trail and you talked about definitely releasing an autopsy and criticized the DNC for not releasing an autopsy in 2016, in your mind, you thought I'm going to do one but only release certain lessons and not the full report?
No, what I said at the time is exactly what I've been saying now, which is we have to focus on the things that help us win the future elections. We have to focus on those lessons. We have to do this exercise, by the way, of doing conducting this analysis so that we actually learn what happened, not just in 24, but in the years preceding.
Can't address what he actually said. It's insane.
It's insane. It's the whole, I mean, that's really it. The whole rest of the interview is like this. I mean, Favre also presses him on the fact that the DNC can't fundraise at all. And in large part, it's because donors, I don't care about this as much because I don't think the big money donors should play.
Can't fundraise at all. That's a nice characterization of you would have no idea listening to this. That was their most successful year fundraising ever. But okay, can't fundraise at all.
This big of a role, but like for their purposes, donors are not interested in donating to the DNC if they're not able to access the information about what the hell went wrong the last time. So yeah,
it's just the comments here.
You can smell the BS. This performance should be a fireable offense. Ken Martin is essentially a parody of what everyone hates about politicians. Horrible and embarrassing. Thank you, John, for pressing him on this. Holy shit.
Let's also be clear who the Pod Save America audience is. This is not, this is like
lefties of the majority report.
Normie Democrat territory.
Yeah. I mean, it's reflected in the.
Oh my God. I wonder if the fucking Hassan's audience or whoever the fuck else. Yes, Normie Democrats. Have huge, like I said, normie Democrats don't even know what the fuck the DNC is. Oh my God.
Polling numbers about the Democratic Party, which is, it's being dragged down by actual Democrats in terms of their lack of approval or disapproval of how things have gone. And I know that this interview may not travel that far, but some new people will see this, and some new people who maybe aren't Democratic Party stalwarts will see this. And this evasive corporate gobbledygook, this jargon, is a major problem for the credibility of the party. Like, there's a currency of perceived authenticity that is, like, I think really important in politics right now and has been since Trump entered, because he's a sociopathic liar, but he performs authenticity and democratic responsiveness for things like the Epstein files, or that's what he did on the campaign trail to get elected, the no new wars thing. He saw that the national mood was really against the genocide in Gaza and just said what he needed to say. He directly communicates with people on podcasts that they like. Like, this is about actually responding and being a party that is dynamic. And I think this, like, 20 minutes of lying and obfuscating about the results of this election is awful optics. It's bad.
I mean, it is ironic.
He sounds like a health insurance guy denying your claim.
You hear all the other people of his ilk. We need to talk plain talk to the American public.
Okay, the majority report has talked about this autopsy quite a bit.
He's saying, we're not going to get we got the lessons, not the actual substance of the report. But here's the thing. I don't think there's that many people who are outside the know, if you will, who are that interested in the interview with the DNC chair. I don't think most people could even say who the RNC chair is right now. I mean, that's also a function of Trump and whatnot. But most people, the vast majority of people, have no idea and don't care. However,
Trump's
the problem
chair.
Is that...
Isn't it Trump's... Fuck, who was it last
time?
Was it
one of his sons?
I thought it was like a daughter-in-law. Last time? I don't know who it is this time. I'm not sure.
RNC chair.
Most one-to-one. The people who are interested in
Joe
that interview.
Gruder's.
Loser.
They understand that he's lying. That's the thing. It's like going to the plumber's convention and going like, hey, you know, hey, this is a wrench. And everybody go, wait, I'm a plumber. That's not a wrench. That's
but
a pen.
I think things travel more than we anticipate these days. Like, I really do think that, like...
Either way, it's bad for them.
Yeah.
They're talking about, oh, man, isn't it crazy how Bernie can go on any single podcast, including Joe Rogan? They can't even go on the in-house podcast.
It's true.
Yeah. Right. Like those guys want Democrats to win. They can't go on... And that's why they're pursuing wanting to say, where's this autopsy?
Hey, folks, don't forget
Does the majority report at least talk a lot of Trump bad?
Kind of, a little bit, but they're part of the lefty, sloppulist suck squad, and we're a huge Israel-Palestine thing. Like, these guys hate the Democratic Party.
People, of course, want to weaponize the report in a way to look backwards, to point fingers, place blame in a way that actually doesn't keep us focused on the upcoming election. But instead, the navel-gazing of focusing backwards actually takes us backwards. We're 189 days from this election, John. What we don't need to be focused on is actually relitigating 2024. What we need to do is learn the lessons of 24 and the years preceding that can help us win this upcoming election. I get why people are obsessed with it, because there's various groups and organizations and people who think there's some sort of smoking gun in there. Guess what, John? In the third closest presidential election in the last 100 years, everything mattered. There's nothing that didn't impact that election.
Why did you spend the money going to 50 states, doing all these interviews, doing all this stuff?
He's like, everything mattered. Not one thing. There wasn't one particular thing. John, believe me, it was everything. It was tort reform. There's no smoking gun. There's no one singular issue that was overwhelmingly brought up as a reason.
Doing this report in the first place.
Yeah. I wonder, I'm sure there are some establishment Dems that are clamoring for that report release. It would be nice to see some, I guess. But, like, obviously the loudest voices, at least in the arena that I'm in, are all going to be lefties. The only reason that they want this report is so that they can scream about Israel-Palestine.
You weren't going to release the full results of it. Like, why? I don't get why just you and some of the senior DNC people get to see it, but not most of the DNC members who are, you know, state party chairs. I mean, you know, more than a dozen DNC members told NBC just the other week they want it released, including Congresswoman Delia Ramirez and North Carolina Democratic Party Chair Anderson Clayton. And Anderson said, quote, genuinely, what did you all find that we did not?
It seems to me that...
Wait, where's the full one? But what the fuck happened? Well, I was gone for a week. Why did I have Customs and Border Patrol ask me if I watched you when I returned to the shithole country this morning and got detained? Shut the fuck up. You're lying. There's no fucking way that you got asked. No, not the full Erica Kirk video, guys. I'm looking for the full DNC combo.
Do you think it would be better if Ken Martin stopped beating around the bush? Look, it doesn't matter what he says or does. There's no way to engage with this in a healthy dynamic. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Chatters, I don't care about the full Erica Kirk video. I've been detained before, but never that.
Does he comment at all?
How the fuck would they
else on this?
Focusing in on the $11 on that. The person and...
Okay, you said you've been detained in the past. It makes a little bit more sense. It
is fuck, watch the video, man.
About your... Which is be more urgent.
We spent energy, and so positive.
Except for the fact that you said you were going to release the autopsy, and that it would be a mistake not to release the autopsy, and that it would be stupid not to release the autopsy. And now you're saying, no, it's stupid to release the autopsy. So something did change. You made the autopsy. You saw what's in it, and you were like, we can't let anybody know what the fuck's in this thing.
When you were on the campaign trail, and you talked about definitely releasing an autopsy, and criticized the DNC for not releasing an autopsy in 2016, you thought, I'm going to do one, but only release certain lessons and not the full report?
No, what I said at the time is exactly what I've been saying now, which is we have to focus on the things that help us win the future elections. We have to focus on those lessons. We have to do this exercise, by the way.
Yeah, the lessons are we got to pivot to the center more, by the way. I just wanted to tell you guys, like, here are some of our lessons. Pivot to the center harder than we ever have, okay? And also reinstate our unlimited loyalty and support to the nation state of Israel. That's what the autopsy showed.
We got punished for not being pro-Israel enough, it seems.
Of conducting this analysis so that we actually learn what happened, not just in 24, but in the years preceding that, John. And so that's where our focus is. I mean, you know, the challenge is, you know, think about this as an executive summary of a, you know, like you said, a 200-page document. And I think what we've put together and what we learn, we are sharing with people so they have full insight into what we actually need to course correct on as we go into these final 189 days left and into the future. So again,
are you going to release? You mentioned an executive summary. Are you going to release an official executive summary? Make that public.
We've been releasing that, John. That's what I've been saying to you.
Well, you said there's the Democratic playbook, executive summary.
Because there's a lot of
what those lessons are. I'm happy to go over them with anyone who wants to talk about them, John. But what I'm not going to do is release a report that turns everyone backwards trying to either...
I cannot believe he goes on for 30 minutes about how we're controlling the flow of information that's coming out of the autopsy because there's a lot of information in there that we don't want to fucking admit. This is abysmal. We're not moving like a party that wants to win.
True.
We're to see folks criticizing policy America's continued attention to the DNC autopsy by saying we should just focus on winning. Getting the best possible understanding of why Democrats lost the winnable election is focusing on winning. Matt, I disagree. The party hiding its head in the sand for most of 2024 on the terms of the... For us, yeah, and
to action so we don't repeat those same mistakes. That's what we've been focused on, John.
Oh, so Steve Shale wants to be a win.
Okay, whatever.
That's-
we get it.
Hey, do you care and want to make a difference about politics? Digital Ground Game and I are inviting you to participate in organizing for the upcoming midterms. If you want to join a canvassing house or come to events, or just volunteer a few hours a week from home, fill out the form below and help us save democracy. We will find something for you to do, and we will connect you to political action.